Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, it's a beautiful, beautiful day today, and I mentioned this earlier this morning. We got a text immediately from some guy who said, yeah, it's a beautiful day. I'm quitting work.
No way.
Like today, he's quitting. He's going to go in and he's going to quit his job.
When you are enthusiastic about it and you consider it freedom, it can be a wonderful thing.
I couldn't tell if it was sarcasm or not, but it seemed to be like, I'm happy because I'm quitting. And it led me to think, you know what? Anybody else quitting work today? I would like to hear about that because I personally... The only time I've ever left a job is when I had another job lined up and it was a better opportunity. So to me, that wasn't like, I'm quitting work.
Yeah, okay, quitting like, without any...
Yeah, it's like, look, I got like when I got the offer to move here to Philadelphia, I had to say, guys, I can't pass this up.
How did your modeling agent take that
well,
news?
Well, it was a little heartbroken because the foot ads in St. Louis were going to stop.
Dude, we're hitting a bumper crop of ads. You're leaving me.
Yeah, did they take it?
It was like, look, yeah, we understand, but then they were like, and then they
go ahead, commit suicide, Kenny.
No, that it wasn't him. But then it was like, you breached your contract by talking to another. I said, what?
Yeah,
I didn't know I couldn't talk to anybody else about a job, but they were kind enough to not let that get in the way of me moving on to another job. But some people are like, screw it.
Yeah.
I'm quitting today. That's it. I can't take this crap anymore.
And I wonder,
there are different levels of quitting, you know?
I wonder if good weather, a sunny morning, can help move you along in that thought. Yeah.
Maybe. I have a friend who hates her job. She really can't stand her boss, and she knows that she's going to be able to quit probably by the end of July.
She works for the Weinstein Company.
Yes. Yeah. And this boss is a total creeper.
This guy.
Yeah. He's been out of work
he's
lately.
Been away, though, yeah, for a while.
But she knows that this is happening, and she can't say anything yet, and it's a weird, like...
It's gotta be freeing. It's
freeing, but you have to pretend to go to work and work hard in the interim. You know, she hasn't given her 2 weeks' notice yet, so it's an odd in between at this point.
Nick, look at these two texts in a row. Not somebody, not quitting. Two people getting fired today.
Oh man,
they're not getting fired. It says I'm not quitting today, but I am definitely firing someone. And another one says I'm not quitting a job, but I am firing a few people today. And yes, they do deserve it. LOL, it's a beautiful day.
The top one, somebody else did get fired.
Already?
Where?
Someone I know got fired today.
That person deserved it. That person deserved it.
Wow, it brings out a whole other side of someone.
But here's another one. I'm quitting at 5 for the day. Very tempted to leave today, but would need another job to do so. So that's the thing.
And my friend has another job lined up after that, but I'm just like... She can't quit yet, you know?
The only time that I've quit jobs were when I was like a teenager and summer was coming to an end and it was time to go back to school.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm done.
I quit. They busted into tears when I had to tell Dunkin' Donuts I was leaving.
I just stopped going to a job once.
Stop it. You ghosted a job?
I ghosted a job. It was a lifeguarding job. I was a lifeguard at the YMCA. It was an indoor pool and I couldn't take it.
The children drowned today because the lifeguard didn't show up.
It was like, and I had to work like Saturday mornings at like 8 a.m., you know? And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I just, a few times, I just didn't show up. And then when I would show up the next time, no one said anything to me. And they didn't call me when I didn't show up. So then I just stopped going.
You were clearly vital to the operation.
Yeah, right?
That's funny, Kath, because I really only quit one job in my life. And it was the Y.
You can't, right?
I did not like lifeguarding in an indoor pool. I just didn't like it. But I didn't. Ghost, and I didn't. I had my dad go quit for me.
Oh, that's right.
Dad, will you go tell him I don't want to work.
My son doesn't want to come here in person because he's not a. But you could be a man.
Yeah. Here's a text that says I worked for my uncle for years. Biggest jerk on 2 feet.
Wow.
I walked off the job waddling down the street with 200 pounds of tools. Best decision ever. 1 week later, I've never been happier. Man. So they just left. Let me go to Alex. Hi, Alex, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Long time listener.
Thanks, man. What's up, bud? What's your story?
So I'm not quitting, but I have a coworker that's quitting today, and he's a compulsive liar. So everyone was at first on the fence of whether he was going to quit.
Yep.
But we would not be surprised if he's the kind of guy that came into the office and unfortunately, you know, shot up the place.
Oh, my
Jesus.
God.
Jesus. You might want to call him sick today, dude.
Yeah.
Well,
let me ask you, why is he telling, why, how, is he going around telling everyone that today's the day he's going to quit?
Yeah.
No, so he gave in his 2 weeks' notice, but everyone is incredibly nervous because they know how creepy he can be. You know, I should have said this at the beginning. He actually made up a lie, and everyone knows it in the office, that he has a fake fiance.
He has a fake fiance.
So I started working here 10 months ago.
Is she pretty?
Great company, and he literally announced how, hey, I'm engaged, and everyone kind of rolled their eyes. I thought, this is weird. Then they said, yeah, he has this lie about this girlfriend.
You know Emma Stone.
But he's, yeah, and I don't think he's that kind of guy to do it. But it is the case of, like, hey, if you did do it, like, yeah, we saw that coming. Sure.
All right, Alex, wow. If just to hedge your bets, make sure that you have a lot of balloons and stuff set up and one of those going away cakes and everything. So even if he's going to freak out,
with candy all day.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. All right, be careful, Alex.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Good. Appreciate it. By the way, here's a classic quitting moment that Casey brought up the audio for.
I quit. I quit. I quit.
I quit, Mr. White.
I quit, Mr. White.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to, I'm going to go to Tim. Hi, Tim. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, man. What's up?
Hey, when I was about 17, I had just gotten a job for the summertime. It was about a mile or two up the street from my house. It was like a gardening and plant place that this lady had just opened up. I had walked in the door, and she had explained everything to me, how to do the job, how to water the plants, this and that. And it was probably about 98 degrees in, like, the green room or the greenhouse that she had. And as soon as she turned around after explaining how to do the job, I walked out the back door.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Wow. That's what a pitch. How enticing must she have made it sound?
Did you tell her you were leaving?
No, I did not.
Where'd the kid go?
I had turned around, walked back into, I guess, like where the cash register area was for the customers. It was 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. I was 17 years old during the summer.
Yeah.
I went back home. My dad was getting up just to go to work, and he looked at me and goes, "Didn't you just leave to go to work?"
No, oh, that's
I said,
funny.
"Yeah, but I think I'm going to just come back and go to bed."
You'll pay for everything, won't you, Pa?
Yeah.
Nice, Tim.
Yeah, exactly.
And what do you do for a living now, Tim?
I'm a truck driver, and I couldn't be happier.
All right, there you go.
Good for you.
Those are the things that make you find out.
A lot of ghosted calls coming up. We'll go to those.
What about you, Preston? When you did quit a job, and like I quit a job where it was my absolute first job. And I felt bad about it. I worked my time in it.
Yeah.
But it was this old couple. It was a Montgomery Ward Order Fulfillment Center. So they were like Sears and Roebuck in that they had their catalog. And so you could order everything from salt shakers to full canoes. Mm-hmm. And they would come into the same thing. But they were like the nicest couple. And to me, in a way, it was as difficult a
breaking
thing.
Up.
Yes.
Yeah, like a relationship.
So
yeah.
I just want to say, you guys have been great to me. But
I love you. And the guy sitting there who never stopped smoking, I never actually saw what he looked like. It was just a cloud on top of his collar. But Jesus, I remember it just was heart-wrenching.
It is. It's along those lines. It's not quite to the level of breaking up with somebody, but it's close to it. It's definitely close to it. We had a guy, I don't know if you guys remember, at Y100, Kathy, it was before you and Nick. But we had a guy at Y100 that ghosted.
Yes.
Guy in the sales department. Worked there for like maybe 2 weeks and all of a sudden just stopped showing up. Casey was the guy. It was the guy that we had a station party and he was saying what a lousy drummer I was.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because he played drums as well. And like after a week or so, he just stopped showing up at work.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Well, he was such a people person.
Well,
ghosted.
You know, the best was his nickname behind his back was Dog Ass.
Yeah.
Because we had gone away on a company sort of retreat vacation together and he got hammered one night and the next day he was hungover and he just kept saying, "Man, I feel like Dog Ass." And he said it like dozens of times.
So just for a short amount of time, he got to go away on that company trip.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Let me go to some calls. I have Caitlin on the line. Hey, Caitlin, good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Caitlin?
So I pulled Cassie and I totally started ghosting my job at PNC. I was a teller there for like 2 months. It was awful. I mean, the tellers would start yelling at each other in the middle of the day in front of customers.
Wow.
They were all so mean to each other. I was like, I can't do this. So I stopped showing up. My boss would call my mom because they had all that on file. They pretty much wouldn't leave me alone for like a couple weeks. And then one day before they opened, I just dropped off an envelope with my ID and my key, and I just never went back.
All right, so that you had actual security stuff with you, like access keys and stuff like that, because for my reasoning, if you obviously hate the job, why keep going after someone and calling them? But
yeah,
they,
that's what I was curious about. Why they wouldn't actively fire you after a couple of weeks of not showing up?
But you had security keys and everything.
But they still could have called her and said, "Look, you can't work here anymore." You know, so they never technically fired you.
No. My mom was like, "I keep getting phone calls from your boss." Like. Yeah. They said, "You're just not showing up." And I was like, "Oh, no, I formally quit. They just must be confused."
Oh, my God.
And you were able to lie to your mother, too, which is perfect.
Yeah. And then I got another job really quickly. So
all right, okay.
I don't think she was too mad.
Nice. All right, thank you. Kathy, was it the YMCA that you ghosted?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Well, Brittany did the same thing. Hi, Brittany. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. So tell us about you ghosting the YMCA.
So this is back in college. I was going to DC Cube, Delco myself, and I was going to the Y to start a babysitting job, and it was like 6:30 in the morning, and I just thought to myself, changing diapers that early, not going to happen. I just was a no-call, no-show. I felt terrible. But
which Y? Was it the Rocky Run?
Yes, it was, right there by Greater Run Mall.
Yeah. So,
but didn't you have a basic idea of some of the stuff you'd be doing at the job?
Yeah, right.
Was it just like totally out of the blue?
I know. I was an ignorant college kid, I guess, and I just thought about it, and I was like, I accept it, and then I was like, I don't think I can do it. It was too early.
So I show up at McDonald's, and they want me to work with hamburgers.
Right, exactly. I know.
But, you know, you guys help me get through the morning every morning. I'm not really a morning person, but...
Well,
know,
thank you.
All right.
And likewise.
Thanks, Brittany. Yeah. Marissa, have we ever had a case, because we have an internship program, speaking of college-age kids.
We have.
Have we had anybody ghost an internship before?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. And sometimes it'll start where it's like, oh, my car's broken down.
Yeah.
I have some family problems. I couldn't get a ride in.
I can kind of understand why that might happen because, A, the hours suck, you know, this early in the morning, and, B, you're not getting paid anything. But if you're serious about your future and gaining some experience, obviously you're motivated to come back for this. But it might be easy to ghost on an internship.
It's an easy A.
Or just, it is, and you're going to learn a lot. The program produces a lot. But we've had, there may be things going on in your life. We've had a calendar girl who had all five of her grandparents die.
Yeah,
God.
She had trouble finding her way out of New Jersey, if I recall.
As Casey said, just showing up gets you an A, but a lot of those people that have ghosted have come back begging to come back.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Do you let them back?
Some have come back.
Well, they've heard about the breakfast pizza.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steve, Laura's in back.
All right.
Steve, you mentioned McDonald's, and I worked there for 4 years. We had some epic quits. People that would storm,
like storm out screaming.
Oh my! And there was a door that you could go out. You know, where we would load in supplies when the truck would show up. And when you would not open that door because there was an alarm attached to it. Every now and then, somebody would just get fired up and just be done. And McDonald's is one of those jobs where you can burn that bridge. You know, like you can walk out and never go back. And so every now and then, somebody would just storm out the back. The alarm would go off, and everybody kind of look at one another and like. All right. Well,
were you fired or did you quit?
At McDonald's?
Yeah.
No, I quit. I mean, okay. I ended up going to college and then, you know, so that was my last round at McDonald's. So I ended up leaving amicably. But, yeah, some people left under uncertain terms.
By the way, and we've said this many times, don't burn that bridge, whatever bridge it may be. Because you may, that person, that manager or owner of McDonald's may move on and go work somewhere else that all of a sudden you show up with a resume for.
Yeah.
And there they are behind the desk and you might have.
You're the alarm door guy.
Right, exactly. Even ghosting. You may not want to do that. You may want to formally quit. It reminds me of the quitting thing and doing something on the way out. Joe versus a Volcano.
Yes.
Not a great... I didn't think it was a great movie. But anyway, Tom Hanks quits his horrible job that he hates. And they have this wheel that's a valve that says, do not touch on it. And he finally goes over. He's just like... He just turns it. And nothing happens. It's like... I've waited all these years to see what would happen. And nothing happens. Let me go to, I have Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
Ooh, that was horrible.
Really, it was really
that harmony was terrible.
You're fired, Brian.
Brian, you're fired. Flawless. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
It's early. You know what? Now I'm going to ghost.
What's your story, man?
So I was in high school. I had a regular part-time job at a supermarket. Thought, you know, it would be a good idea to get a seasonal job at Toys R Us, you know? Who doesn't love Toys R Us? It was overnight. I was working, like, I guess between the two jobs. It was terrible. One day, I just woke up. My alarm was supposed to go off, supposed to go into Toys R Us at, like, 11. I was like, F that, and just never went back.
Did you get a call? Did someone say, you know, follow up on it? Or did they just figure, all right, here's another one we lost?
No. And it was, you got to figure, it was seasonal. Like, Toys R Us, it wasn't like it had an all-star cast going. So.
Right. Well, you know, it goes to something my father taught me, and I'm sure your dad taught you likewise throughout your working career, Preston. Half the battle is just showing up to get people to show up for the job. And so that's how frequently people just don't. And the employers get used to it. So.
Yeah. I want to go next to this story. This sounds interesting. I am going to go to Lou. Hey, Lou, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, yeah. Well, I was living in Hawaii one time, and I was working as a tour coordinator for a tour company. So one day, a girl comes up, and she says, she goes, you know, I got an extra ticket to fly back because her boyfriend had to fly early. She said, and you know anybody wants it? Well, I bought it, went back to my apartment, and my girlfriend's going, you know, what are you doing? I said, I'm packing up. Where are you going? San Francisco. And I just picked up and left.
You just left? Wow. You were running tours in Hawaii?
Yes. I was actually, at the time, I was working a desk in the Hyatt Hotel.
Okay.
And that's when the girl came up. I used to sell tours like the Polynesian Cultural Center and the luau's and the Arizona Memorial. And
Lou, you'll forgive me, but it would be hilarious. So this is where the volcanoes are.
Yeah.
And over here you got the pineapples. I myself am Samoan.
Hey, but listen to this. I used to brief airplanes. I used to get on a charter airplane.
Oh, okay.
To Hawaii. And these people once said to me, they go, you know, honey, we flew all this way to get greeted by a guy with a New York.
That's great.
I love it. I love it. Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, you're welcome, guys.
Yeah.
Who's Lou?
All right. Thank you, Lou. We got to go to this one. It is Mike. Hi, Mike. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay. All good, man. What's going on?
All right. So when I was in college, my best friend worked and my roommate worked at Guitar Center. For a while, and then they started giving him just shifts that he could not manage, so he just stopped showing up. But being a musician and it being like the only Guitar Center within 100 miles, he needed to go there to buy strings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he would take me with him and have me go in, and he was like, hey, can you just get me these strings and this and that? But the guys that worked there knew that I was his friend because I would always show up when he was working.
Right.
So eventually, so they're like, hey, what happened to your buddy? And I was like, oh, he died.
Oh, you told them that he died.
God. That's extreme.
Oh, my God.
So, he was just like, yeah, just tell him, just give him an excuse that, you know, would never make them ask for me again.
So, oh, my God. So you took it upon yourself to come up with the he died excuse?
I was under pressure and was like, oh, yeah.
And in his will, he asked that you keep his guitar strong. That's a good bit of advice, though. Never ghost or leave a place hanging that you're going to return to as a customer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. You know, you get it. That's a perfect example.
Right.
This is where he needs to get his equipment. And this was probably pre the ease of internet days, and he needed to go in there regularly. And
right.
What are you going to do, man?
Well, it's like if you work at I want to work at a comic book store. I want to do that. And if you screw over a place like that,
yes,
you're screwed.
Yep, exactly. I'm going to go next to Roger. Hey, Roger, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's all good, buddy. What's up?
Just a
I was about, I guess, about 17, and I just started a new job for a door company and trying to make an impression. They were looking for someone to pick up a truck that they had just got down the city.
What kind of truck?
Well, I thought it was a pickup truck, so I volunteered. Cause you know how to drive one? Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And so they dropped me off down the city. This is in the suburbs. They dropped me off down the city, and lo and behold, this is a massive box truck. And so I got in, and I started driving it. And it was brand new, plastic on the seats and the new logo on the side. And
oh, wow.
I decided that on the way back, I'm going to stop at my parents' house to show off, look at what I'm driving.
You idiot.
And I did. And I left my parents' house. I never drove anything bigger than my Volkswagen Bug. And there was a huge rim on a tree that overlooked the road, and I put that limb right through the box from the front of the truck all the way to the back of the truck.
Oh, my God.
You had a tree limb blow through the top front part of the box out the back.
Out the back.
Oh, my God.
Like a can opener.
Oh, my God.
So I drove back to Southampton, and they asked if I got the truck. I said, yes, in the yard, and dropped the keys off with the secretary, and I never saw them again.
Oh, did they, my God. Did they try to contact you at all?
They didn't. They didn't. I didn't, and neither did I go back for my last paycheck.
Whoa.
Yes.
Just put that towards the repairs, guys.
You guys can
you're
keep good. That.
You're going to want to keep that.
Oh, my God. And Roger's a truck driver now. Oh, my God.
No.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Oh, that's just the absolute worst. Let me go to, yeah, I like this one, too. We got to take a break here in just a second, but I'll go to Denise. Hi, Denise. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, what's
Rock.
Up? Thank you. Appreciate it. What's up?
So I get this job. My parents recommended it. It was a friend of my parents recommended for this job. It's cleaning hotel rooms.
Okay.
So I walk around with this girl. She shows me everything you're supposed to clean. And then she hands me a rag. And she says, clean the toilet.
With a rag?
With a rag.
All right.
I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, do you have gloves? And she goes, if you want gloves, you have to bring them with you. And I'm like, are you serious? So I clean the first one. I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. How do I do this without, ew. So I clean the first one. I'm like, I seriously don't have gloves. And she's, no, you have to bring your own. I'm like, a half hour I do this. I'm like, I have to go to my car.
Yes.
That was it.
I have to, you left out to drive away and never come back.
Yeah. I would have been right with Denise.
Yeah.
Yep,
I mean, you'd think they'd supply you with latex gloves.
Seriously.
I don't blame you for that one, Denise.
You know, have you ever had a job where you clean bathrooms, Preston?
Yes. Yeah, sure. No,
Jesus, I tell you. Yes, I am. My name is Casey.
He goes, did you ever clean bathrooms? And I started saying yes, but then he said Preston. And I go, oh, I'm not Preston.
You have to remember that. Think of what you've done in bathrooms and always realize that the bathroom for many people, say like late at night, is the end of the line.
Yeah.
I got to get to a bathroom to ...
Right.
And oh, my God.
Yeah, it can be. If you know, you think it's not so bad. I mean, look, it's going to be a little bit dirty, but every now and then somebody leaves something horrible in there.
Dude, that was part of the side work as a lifeguard.
As a lifeguard, yeah.
And I didn't mind cleaning the bathrooms because I thought it was fairly easy because there wasn't a whole lot of scrubbing you had to do with your hands.
Yeah.
Everything because
mostly licking.
Well, no, it was tile all over the place. So,
and it was outside.
Well,
ours was anyway. We just took the hose and hosed it down.
And that's all it was. It was just, you know, you lay the cleaner down and then you hose it all off and then you're done.
I had to do a little bit of that as a dishwasher. Part of that was cleaning the bathroom. But the dishwasher, that's another one you got to get used to. After a little while, I got used to it, Nick. I don't know about you.
I never got used to sticking my hand into the drain and pulling out the food from the dishwasher.
I got used to it the first couple hours. I'm like, okay. God.
Really? The first couple hours?
Sure. Your bare hands go into food that people have eaten or left over. Yeah. And then after a while, it's just like, whatever. Because you got water right there. You can wash it off immediately. Yeah. But
and you were known for your feet.
And I was known for my feet. Exactly. One last call. I will go to Tony. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
Tony, this is Tony from South Jersey. Now, I'm going to go by Tony because I'm going to disguise my name.
Okay, all right.
Back in probably 1989, 1990, I used to work at a Catholic church, St. Luke's Church in Stratford. And I told the priest, Father McCall, one day, I says, I just can't work here no more. And he says, well, why? And I didn't know what to say. And I just blurted out, the Holy Spirit told me I had to leave.
Oh.
And he says, go, my son.
Really? Who are you going to argue?
You know what?
Jesus told you to leave?
That's one thing one should consider. If you're going to leave a job and you don't really have a good excuse, think about who you're talking to and what they might relate to.
And the priest is like, did he say anything about me?
Exactly. Yeah. And he put his hand on my forehead and he says, go, my son.
There you go.
Thanks. That's actually not bad advice. All right. Interesting. All right. Well, if you're quitting today, hopefully it's for a good reason. Hopefully you're moving on to something better.
Yes.
Which would be nice.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Saw this interesting article this morning. It was conducted by Louder Sound. It was an interview, and they asked a bunch of rock stars if they remembered what song was playing when they lost their virginity.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. So Corey Taylor from Slipknot said it was a Depeche Mode live album. It was right after it had come out, and I was dating a girl who was really into them. I was into them, but that album, or it could have been The Sex, he said, really made me turn the corner with them.
He became a big fan.
After that. Yeah.
Because now you have a good associated memory.
Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach said that he was listening to...
Who cares what he was listening to?
Yeah, we saw he had herpes sores all over his face when we saw him one time.
But they spelled his name out.
But he was listening to Kick by NXS.
Great song.
It's a great album.
Yeah.
And he added, it wasn't a horrible experience. I was like 16. He said it was a horrible experience. He said I was like 16. My mom walked in.
Oh, no.
So the chick jumped off me. I didn't even get to finish up. My mom made me take her to the door, and he says, does she know me now? Oh, yeah, she knows. So it was NXS Kick. Slash said, I nearly first had sex to Aerosmith's Rocks. I'd been courting this girl for months, finally got into her apartment while her mom was away, and she put it on, and I played it over and over until she said, you might as well go. He said, usually it's the girl's music that you end up having sex to. So it was probably something like Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
All right.
Which was very popular with the girls back then. Here's an interesting one. Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue. His story said it was Seals and Crofts' Summer Breeze.
Oh, wow. Really? Well, there's a beautiful song. He really incites a good memory.
And then he laughs. He said, unfortunately.
No. Seals and Crofts are great.
He said, I can remember the song, but not the girl. I remember her mom's cookies. And that's why it happened, because we were waiting for her mom's cookies. And I'm so fast that it worked out perfectly.
So he managed to have sex and have cookies.
How does he not remember the girl? Right? It was his first ever.
I mean, you clearly remember my first ever.
Makes me feel cold. And listen, Nikki Sixx has forgotten more about sex than we'll ever know.
Yeah.
But it's for your first one.
That's an impactful experience.
You think he might know.
Yet he remembers Seals and Crofts.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine. Blowing into jasmine in my mind.
Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses said, the girl was older than me. I was just a punk rock kid, and she effing loved the song Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick by Ian Dury.
Hit me!
And he said, yes, I know that the title is appropriate. I didn't really know what I was doing, but she did because she was 18 and I was 14.
14?
Yeah,
that's young. Let me ask you, in your earlier days, was music always a component part of sex? When you were setting mood, did you always put on music?
That was part of it. Most definitely.
I put on snuff films.
Well, how did that work for you?
It wasn't good.
Okay. Probably should have.
Yeah, they ran.
Yeah, there was music involved. Most definitely. Sometimes it was to set the mood, and sometimes music just happened to be on.
Do you remember your, was there music playing when you lost your virginity?
Not technically. So it was
a Salvation Army band.
No. It was my friend Paul. Was actually playing piano in the living room of a girl's home. And he was playing, Journey. Just a Small Town Girl.
God Almighty!
Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
So that, it wasn't while.
He's playing this part.
Yeah, exactly, on piano.
So you're taking your pants off to this.
It wasn't, no. Let me explain.
All right.
It wasn't while we were actually doing it at the time, but it was before we went into the bedroom, because her mom had a piano in the living room, and so he was tickling out this. And so I will forever associate losing my virginity with this song. Do you have a song you associate it with?
Yes, it had just come out.
Okay.
Battle Hymn the Republic.
Oh, yeah. Wow, it was brand new.
I'm a little bit older, so I remember that.
Yeah.
Actually, a song I associate the same way you're associating. No, I think I have that wrong. It's a Cheap Trick song.
Okay.
I think,
losing your virginity?
Yeah, but okay. I don't know if it's
Dream Police?
If it was front or butt. No.
Oh my God.
Good Lord.
No, I'm trying to remember. Because they do I clearly remember the first girl, but I don't remember if music was playing during or as a preamble to.
Right. But somehow or another you've got some music associated.
Cheap Trick is associated with me losing my virginity.
Who was she, by the way? A girlfriend or just a one-off?
Became a girlfriend.
Okay.
Yes.
I gotcha. Nice. And then the last one on here is Fozzy, frontman Chris Jericho, playing the MM Barbecue, by the way. He said he had a quick anecdote of his own saying Saigon Kick. He said it wasn't a ballad. It was a song called Feel the Same Way, and I probably haven't listened to it since, but that was the tune that I had my first 12-second sexual experience to.
Okay, when we are having sex there, so what do you like something that is more mellifluous and moody, or do you like something like Kick, like an NXS?
What you mean now in my life?
In general, over your life, what have you preferred?
Oh, in general, because now we just turn the TV on and crank the noise up with whatever's on.
Yeah.
So the kids don't hear it. Hi, kids, by the way.
We're watching a Bowflex commercial.
Have a good day at school.
You know what? Something not distracting.
Something with or without lyrics?
With lyrics, I guess.
Do you know what used to be a good humping song or humping music? Sadness?
Sadness Part 1?
Part 1.
Yeah, by Enigma.
Right, with the monks chanting in the back.
That was considered a sexy song.
Yeah.
Yes, for some reason. I don't know why people.
I don't know what she says, but there's.
Yeah.
If French in there, I don't speak French. It's not distracting.
Kathy, on your wedding night when you lost your virginity.
I have no idea.
Space people.
No music?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Don't know.
Oh, you blocked it out.
No, I really have no clue.
I can't remember. He spilled his wine and I forgot.
Did you guys have music the night you lost your...
No.
Or whenever it may have been?
I had a Disney movie going crazy.
What was it?
It was Aladdin.
Are you serious?
Aladdin has some good songs.
Yeah, what's one of the songs from Aladdin?
I can...
Show you the world. Yeah. I was a sophomore in college. I was old. And we went... I was not even in my room. It was in somebody else's room. I don't know the girl's last name. First name's April. And she was a prospective student who wanted to come to Bucknell and then did not.
We'll just refer to her as the plaintiff.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my God. You ruined her college experience.
So you were a sophomore before you?
Yeah, I was a late bloomer, man.
How old? 20?
No, 19.
Okay.
Yeah, and so all of my friends, most of my friends at that point had already done it, so I was, you know, one of the last to go. And
dude, you need to put on Disney.
It was on a Friday or Saturday night after a party. We went back to a friend's dorm room. It was a massive dorm room. Well, at least in retrospect, it was a massive dorm room. It was probably half the size of the studio. And we had a little loft area for me and April. Snuggled up, put on Aladdin on the VCR.
I have a VHS tape of Aladdin. So let me ask you, because it's only natural you associate your first time, like I have a warm and fuzzy feeling for Cheap Trick.
Maybe that's why I have such a crush on Jasmine, because of that one.
But there you go.
I think we mentioned
the monkey.
A few years back. Actually, the parrot, Steve. Yeah. The Gilbert Gottfried gets me off.
That was very comfortable.
I have no idea whatever became of that girl. And that sort of bothers me a little bit.
She left the country.
No, man. Like, I don't know who this person is.
You shared a pivotal point in your life.
And she knew. I was honest with her about it. I wasn't like, I got a lot of sexual experience here.
That's my ear.
Yeah. It was, all I know is her first name.
Yeah,
so, like, Nick, that is an interesting thing, though. I don't communicate with the,
What is it?
Oh, my God.
Look, up your sleeves. You got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power.
Be gentle.
Ammunition in your hand. You got some punch.
I'm getting hot right now.
But you in Pavlovian fashion...
Yeah,
it would elicit that kind of.
Does it?
It's such an important. You had a good experience, and she.
I did have a good experience.
And hers was as well.
Yeah.
No, so she decided not to come to the school.
I think she didn't get in, Kathy.
Yeah. No, she went right back to working in the cafeteria.
She's hot, man.
Yeah. Let me undo your hairnet.
Going to that side of things, I do feel bad that you don't know who that person was. I
never
stayed in touch with the person who de-virginized me. And every once in a great while on Facebook or something like, we'll say, hey, how you doing or something, you know?
Is there, not that you, obviously, you adore your wife, and that's one. Yeah. Is there a little thing,
of course,
a little flutter?
There always will be. There's a line in Say Anything.
Aladdin.
And Say Anything. Lloyd and Diane do it, and then he tells his friend, and she goes, everything has changed, Lloyd.
Yeah.
No matter what. You two could be 80 years old and run into each other on the street, and it will always be there no matter what.
Wow.
You know, you did this thing. And I think they both lost their virginity in that moment. It kind of seemed that way anyhow. Right. So I'd say, yeah. I mean, there's that, whatever it is. It's not an attraction, but it's a connection.
It is something special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I dated the guy, so, you know, for a long time. But, I mean, I'm still in contact with him. We still occasionally will, you know, say hello. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it.
Yeah. I still love you. You know, things like that.
No. So it was you were confident and you were having a relationship. It meant something.
Yeah,
to you.
I didn't ruin someone's life like Nick. Yeah.
Case, was there
and music? Destroy Disney.
Right. Was there music involved in you? Are you?
There's always music in.
What's that in my butt? It's a cassette.
I'm still a virgin. All my children are adopted.
Do you remember any? Was it quiet? Was there music? I can't help but assume Fish
set the
has
stage.
Figured
what
a
was,
prominent.
You know what, though? On? I mean, I don't necessarily. I don't know if my kids are listening right now, so I don't want to talk about it.
Really?
Was it like after a bar?
No, no. It was actually in my friend's bed at his home. It was it was spring break. He had a party at his house. It was a girl that was kind of my girlfriend.
Okay.
It was,
I have Sandlot on VHS.
Here's the deal.
He keeps
killing me, Smalls. Here was the deal. I loved this girl. Yeah. And prior to this, we had Frenched a couple of times.
Okay.
I was too big of a puss to, like, put any moves on her.
Right.
That particular night, there was a guy that was at this party who was macking on her big time. We had, for all intents and purposes, she was my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's, it was established. But
he asked me. He goes, "Hey, what's going on with you guys?" I didn't want to put any ownership on her.
So he wasn't a cad.
He asked, he's a nice guy, all Quinn. Right. If you're listening, hey, man. And so I'm like, no, man, she's not my girlfriend. Like, you know, whatever. And so he tried to, you know, he took her out for a walk. And
that's right out of a sitcom.
Yeah. And then and she rebuffed his advances.
Good.
And next thing you know, we're in my buddy's bed. And she says, you know, I would have sex with you, right? And I was like, hang on 1 second. Damn. And I booked down to Kyle. I said, dude, you got a rubber? And he said, yeah. And I said, awesome. And then we went upstairs. And then guess what? I never completed. I was so drunk.
There you go.
That's tough.
You didn't even finish out the movie.
No. So there was no music. There was no nothing. It was like just darkness. In
subsequent times, did music figure
never
as an integral part of? Okay.
No.
I could go either way. Silence is fine as well. Christian Science reading room.
I hadn't even thought about that back in, you know, teenage days of getting that question. Hey, man, are you going to, do you mind if I, do you mind if I,
believe me,
if
man,
I move in here?
That hurt for me to say.
Is your mom single?
Because, like.
It might work that way now.
Yeah, it might.
She wasn't my girlfriend, but, man, I wanted her to be my girlfriend so badly.
Because you are so conflicted. And those are all life steps. And so you're thinking.
Yeah.
Am I, is this my girlfriend now?
We had like Frenched twice at that point. Right. You know, like,
Frenched.
Had you Greeked?
We had not Greeked. We never Greeked. But the fact that that happened that way that night is just, I was not expecting it at all. Not even a little bit.
It's wild because at that stage of your life, those emotions are so raw. They're so, it's new ground for you.
Everything is coming online and you don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it can cut deep. It can hurt a lot.
That's why you get those, you know, those classic Springsteen driving into the night, running, and you think you're the only one, you know, and then you put on a lad and everything's fine.
I try to keep that in mind as I have teenagers and see their emotional issues they're going through. Okay, remember when it was you?
Yeah.
Remember when it was really important and really painful or really awesome, and the emotions were really augmented because of that, because it was so new.
I was reading an article on dating and the city or dating and apps and all this stuff, and my wife was sitting over on the couch and she was just doing her thing, and I just looked over and I said, I love you so much, because it's such a jungle out there, you know, as far as this stuff is concerned.
Somebody texted, and this is more for Nick, but it says, did she rub the lamp?
You're so gonna love this guy. Prince Ali, fabulous, he Ali Ababa.
Nick.
I will never now think of Aladdin in any way but Nick's deflowering.
Yeah, I really don't need to see the live action one that comes out next year.
Nice.
They'd have to chase you out with a boner.
Hang on. Here's a similar thing to which one had the mother walk in on them?
Jacoby Shaddix.
Jacoby Shaddix. I'll go to Jordan. Hi, Jordan. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey. So I was watching some movie, and actually Don't Stop Believin' was playing as well. And full birthday week, my mom walked in on me.
Oh, no.
And instantly starts freaking out. She actually wanted to see the condom to make sure I was wearing one.
What? Wow. So it evolve into, that's not how you do it.
Oh, no.
If you're going to do it like this.
I was 15 years old, and it was the most embarrassing thing that ever happened in my life.
God. Thank you, by the way, Jordan. I can't imagine mom or dad walking. I've never had that happen. Walking in.
That's not how you do it, son.
You're
like this. First, these are your testes.
Oh,
they need to be, manipulated, for lack of a better term.
That's a whole other conversation. Yeah. Your parents walking in on you, one of your parent or both, while you're in the throes of it. Oh, my God.
An early girlfriend. Not to go off to derail, but I mean,
and then I've got a story.
My pants, everything was completely off. And we threw up a blanket quickly. Fortunately, it was sort of our thing to just sit there with the blanket on while we're watching TV in our house. So it wasn't like I was suddenly dressed in a suit of armor.
Right. And her parents?
And then dad came down.
Oh,
I don't know. He, for some reason, had like a life epiphany and was just, I can't go to sleep. And so we actually like watched a show or two with me.
Your pants
my
down.
Dong on the couch.
Yes.
With him sitting right there, unaware, or either it was a don't ask, don't tell.
Stevie picks up the remote. All right, let me see what's on.
You're gonna love this.
Oh, no. What's that in the blanket there? It's a long story, but this movie gets me off.
I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. It's so great. My best friend Steve had moved back into his parents' house for the time being. I guess he was in between jobs or whatever it was. And this is a diamond cable. The Spice Channel would come on.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be scrambled. But every now and then. Every now and then, it would be like a semi-clear picture.
Top and bottom bending just a bit, but you could see it.
And it was hardcore pornography.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Steve thought it was a great opportunity to take care of himself, which he did, and his mother walked in on it.
Oh, man.
Full-grown adult moved back into the house and is spanking it to the scrambled Spice Channel and full-on busted by mom.
Ricky, I saw what you were doing.
Yeah.
It felt good, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm like, what did you do? And I just sat there. I just shut my eyes and just went, oh, my God.
Do you think most mothers there's three brothers in my house growing up.
Of course.
My mother wasn't an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's only so many models you can build in your room with the door closed.
Listen, I know when it's going on in my house. It's
when
the kid's been in the bathroom for an hour.
Yeah.
You know what the long showers are, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I had a friend similar to yours, Preston, was older, and I think it was after college, moved back home for a little while, and came home drunk, bombed, went down into the basement, watched a movie.
Where's Aladdin?
There were...
I love this guy. It's only fabulous here.
There were tissues all over the floor, but he passed out.
Oh!
And when he woke up, now I don't know if she thought maybe he had a cold or not, but she cleaned them up. She had cleaned them up.
She should have made him into like a little bouquet or something.
Oh,
like
my
that.
Gosh. Do you have a cold? It seems like you have a runny penis.
I don't know. I don't know what his poor mom thought.
As a parent, it's just because you know it. I don't, you know, don't have kids, but it's a natural progression in life.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you want to see it necessarily.
Yeah. Let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Long time caller, first time listener.
First time listener.
I love it. Yeah. Mike, what's up?
Hey, nothing. So, 17 years old, I was, I was getting down for my first time. It was after a high school dance with a girl named Rachel, and I was so intrigued and foreign at that time that I actually was behind her, and I kind of heard the door open. I looked back and connected eyes with my dad, Tony, like a kind of a, pervy Italian guy. And he got so excited. And
he got excited? What was his reaction?
He was just so happy to see his youngest kids actually having sex. And
Fuzzle Gaboo.
He just gave me a quick nod and a wink and then closed
whipped
the door
it out.
And
it. This is a great to see this in a person. If you don't mind, I'm going to take care of myself for while I watch you.
Steve, and that's not how you do it.
No, you got to do it like this. Wait a second, I just violated my own son.
No, I think.
It tastes like oregano. I got to tell you something, though.
No, but isn't it a little bit different
for
a dad when your son is old enough where you're like.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Good job.
Dom Irera has a great bit, and he talks about how the difference in standards. He goes, my kid's a real stallion. He's got, he's up there, he's banging it right now. He goes, you never hear a dad go, my daughter. My daughter bangs him 10 deep. Listen to it. She's an animal up there.
Kathy Casey, I guess, disagrees. He was saying no, but I,
Your kids are a little bit older now, so I think you're closer to that, like.
And I, once again, I take it back to when I was that age, and there was nothing that I wanted to do more.
Didn't you think also, I remember thinking, I've discovered something here. I don't know if anyone knows about this. Of course, yeah, this is ridiculous.
Need to tell the world.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go next to Josh. Josh, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
So, my story about losing my virginity, I was actually on the couch in my basement, and me and my girlfriend thought that nobody was home. And, my mother was home, and she had just put her car in the shop. And so, we're in the middle of the act, and the lights down low.
My mother walks into the basement, flicks on the light, and there is no blanket. Oh. There was nothing to protect us.
Oh.
And she just stares directly at us and froze. I swear to God, there was like a good 5 minutes of just dead silence of eye contact between me and my mother.
Oh, my God.
While I was just, and I was just the most awkward experience
did you,
of my entire life.
Did you stop, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone froze, but then there was nothing.
1 minute, Mom.
Because in the movie, Steve, they don't stop.
No.
Yeah.
But you notice when the Preston, and not to derail your story, Josh, but when in porn movies, when the mother comes in, she starts doing it with the son or stepson. It's always like that sort of bizarre thing. She will never help the son. There's this weird geometry to how things work out.
Oh, yeah.
In these bizarre porn scenarios that have created a whole subculture of people who expect that that's the way sex is going to be when you finally start having it.
And by the way, I did tell my sons that, listen, if you
that's
do
not it. Yes.
I said if you do see these movies, I'm like, it ain't that way in the real world.
No.
Just to let you in on a little secret here, all right? Let me go to, this is a good one. Let me go to Danny. Hey, Danny, good morning.
Hey, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. What's up, buddy?
Funny story, not actually got walked on, but, you know, kind of got the approval of my grandfather, of all people.
Excuse me?
I got the approval. Happened to be, you know, at home with my girlfriend, so nobody was home, no big deal, first time. Walk out of the bedroom, my grandfather's standing right there, and he just looks at me, gives me the nod, and just says, attaboy, why don't you take her home in the car so she's not cold?
Wow.
Oh,
you know, why don't you splurge and don't make her walk 10 miles home?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really, I was 17, I really wasn't sure how that scenario was going to play out, but he said, you know what, why don't you go ahead and take the car, and the car was sweet, it was a brand new Cadillac, it was really nice.
And then tell you what, better. Why don't you go get her something to eat, and I'll stay with her for a while.
Yeah. All right. Thanks,
thank you, Gampy.
Appreciate it. All right. And
that's
then
funny.
I'm going to go to one last call because we do have to wrap it up. But they've been on hold for like 20 minutes.
Wow.
Going back to the song that they heard.
Yes.
When they lost their virginity. So it's an anonymous caller. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, my son might be listening, and I'm a completely different person now than I was 30 years ago.
Okay.
But it was the most horrible 30 seconds of my life, but feels like the first time came on.
Oh, my God.
Foreigner, really?
Yeah.
You got to admit, though, that's an appropriate song.
Yeah.
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 And it sucked every second of it.
Every second of it sucked. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Like, was it consensual?
It was. I'm sorry?
Was it consensual, at least?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Was it with Foreigner?
You want to make sure it wasn't a horrible. Was it actually live on
stage?
Was Lou Graham? All right, well, thank you for the call.
You're having sex with this person right now.
Fortunately, her son probably won't recognize that voice.
Right. Well, I mean, so...
Do I have an identifiable voice?
Yes.
With what that lady's saying, though, there are a couple of things you should probably take into account. And I just I remember a friend telling me that she will never she'll never think of New Year's Eve the same. So every single time New Year's Eve comes around, that terrible thought will come up because that's the night that she lost her virginity. So if you are planning on losing it, you know, don't necessarily pick a day that you're.
If you have that.
New Year's Eve.
You might not have that luxury.
Yeah, you might not. But if you can sort of work towards that, and that is a good thing to do. But you're right. Sometimes hormones get the better of you, and then there you go. And there, you know. Our sage advice is if it can be someone that you care about and something, that's a wonderful thing.
Well, and that was my case, but it wasn't horrible, but I don't remember the first time.
Probably through therapy.
I am surprised. Wow.
But I mean, I was with him for 4 years.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember that.
So that continued, it didn't end shortly after that?
Once a year?
No.
I was with him for four years.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, thanks for your calls, but these rock stars are weighing in on the music that was playing when they lost their virginity. And these guys, I mean, they're in the music industry, do associate songs with that particular time. So I thought that was kind of an interesting little character study.
Kathy Romano hosts the 12th annual Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids, Friday, May 3rd at True Beauty Concepts in Southampton, PA.
Hey, everyone, get your ponytails ready for the chopping block. We're asking you to cut your hair for a great cause, Wigs for Kids. Their mission, helping children look themselves and live their lives. You'll need at least 12 inches of hair to donate, and with what's left, the skilled stylist from three amazing hair salons, Gravity, David Arnold, and Tiare, will cut and style your new do. Go to PrestonandSteve.com for guidelines and to make a donation appointment.
Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids.
Refreshments provided by Metro Beverage Philadelphia and Panera Bread.
93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Death is whack, right?
Death is whack, but listen, you got to be careful. You could kill yourself when you sneeze. Did you know that?
I just heard about this.
I thought you could blow your eyes out if you kept your mouth shut.
You could blow your eyes
yeah,
out?
Yeah, that was like one of the ones
I heard.
Is that
what your mom told you?
You could blow your eyeballs out.
No, but it could rupture your throat, burst an eardrum, or pop a blood vessel in your brain.
Oh, all right then.
Researchers have confirmed this.
There was a guy who recently had an issue with it, right? I think it was in England.
Let's see here. Let's read along and find
out.
Many people, when they feel the sneeze coming on, they like to block all exits, essentially swallowing the sneeze's explosive force. Just how dangerous this can be was illustrated when a 34-year-old man showed up at the emergency services hospital in Leicester, England, recently with a swollen neck and an extreme pain. The patient described a popping sensation in his neck after he tried to halt the sneeze by pinching his nose and holding his mouth closed.
Well, you know, when you sneeze, they say the force of the wind coming out of your body is at, like, tornado speeds.
Yeah. I used to hold my sneezes in, and it bothered you guys so
much. It did.
Much.
And we were just trying to save your eyeballs.
No. Yeah, exactly. Your eyeballs could have...
Well,
It has nothing to do with saving
It sounds like it hurts.
It does.
You know what? It did. So now, because of this, I feel...
You
like,
fart.
I do. Well, yeah. I just let it all go.
Go.
And I hope that it relieves some of the pressure in my brain.
Right.
Because I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of popping a blood vessel.
You are a loud sneezer, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, but listen, I don't blame you for it. It's just the way you are.
Yeah.
Physically, it's just...
I think it's the way you were raised.
Yeah, maybe. You know?
Oh, those are the loud sneezers.
I probably sneeze more than anybody here, though, too. Right?
No, when I go out into the sun, I will sneeze twice, and then that's it.
Casey, I can imitate your sneeze. You change the vowel at the end of it sometimes.
Just switch it up a little bit.
The force of the suppressed sneeze has ruptured and torn open the back of the throat, according to this guy. They did a CAT scan on him. Yeah. The man, who could barely swallow or talk, was admitted to the hospital where he was tube-fed and given intravenous antibiotics until the swelling and pain subsided. And he was
discharged.
Excuse me, Mr. Diesel?
It's about family.
Who should we call?
Your family.
Wait, that's what caused it?
The name is gone.
Maybe that's what happened to Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Prior to that, he was like, I'd like to do a movie about street racing. Excuse me a second. It'll be my family.
What happened? I was supposed to sneeze.
Hang on, I got a lot of calls coming in. I'm going to go to Vinny. Hey, Vinny, good morning.
Good morning. Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, what's up, bud?
Well, about 4 years ago, I held in a sneeze trying to be quiet to get the dog out of the girls' room, and I blew out my L4, L5 disc.
Dude!
So bad.
Oh, my God.
So bad, it went into my L5-S1 and pinched my sciatic nerve like 90%.
Hang on a second. Where is that in your spine? Is that up high or down low?
Down low.
And so you ended up getting sciatica from that?
Well, it blew down like a teardrop because your disc is like a tapioca pudding.
Yeah.
And it went down and it pinched that nerve like 90%. I couldn't walk 100 feet without just dropping to the floor.
And did you know it immediately?
Oh, I screamed.
Oh, wow.
It took me 20 minutes to put my shoes on. I was choked out for about a month and then I had a microdiscectomy.
Oh, my God. That's where they send in tiny people to a spaceship to perform surgery.
Inside the body.
Yeah.
Like inner space.
Inner space or Fantastic Voyage.
Yeah. Did you wake up your daughter?
Oh, I woke everybody up. I mean, it felt like a shotgun blew out of my back. So I tell everybody,
wow.
So Vinny,
not holding the sneeze.
So Vinny, it was your modus operandi up to that point to just always suppress your sneezes, but this one got away from you.
Yeah, I would try and hold them in, but the doctor said it's a violent act. So I don't hold anything. I don't care if the president's speaking. I'm going to let it out.
Yeah, that's a good advice.
Thanks, Vinny. Yeah. I was at, I'll never forget it. I was at Jim's Steaks on South Street one time, and there was a woman, a very large woman, that was in that place, and I think I've imitated this before. This is her sneezing. I thought somebody got stabbed or something like that, because it was like this, Steve. It was... I just thought it was...
Really?
Yeah, I kid you not. And then she did it two more times, and I'm like, oh, my God, that woman sneezing.
What the hell?
That was her sneeze.
That might be a little selling, right? Not from you, from her.
No. I don't know. But I projected this in my mind and it didn't really happen, but I think there was saliva all over the place. Maybe that's just me putting that image in my own head, but I'm not sure. But I remember it being crazy how loud.
Only more Tuesday.
Yeah.
If you're out in the open and you feel a sneeze coming on and there's a little bit of sun in the sky and you don't have to put your hands in front of your face,
yeah,
it's very freeing.
Oh, it is.
You can see out.
I love doing that.
It's a wonderful feeling.
The only way you can match that is by peeing in your neighbor's hedges.
Right? No, I agree. When you have the opportunity to just sneeze without covering it up.
I feel like if you sneeze,
it's like Tommy. I'm free. Yeah. I'm free.
Yeah. I feel like if you sneeze towards the ground, you don't have to cover your mouth.
You'll lift off.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I do.
Outside, you don't.
I do the crook of my elbow thing.
Yes.
That's where I sneeze now. I used to sneeze into my hand.
No, you can't.
But then
do
your
that.
Hand's got all kinds of schmegma on it.
I learned that salsa dancing because people would get sick and it was like you're dancing, you know, with somebody, you're holding their hands, so you had to sneeze into your elbow.
Well, isn't that kind of like the dab now?
And yeah.
I sneeze
into my shirt. I'll pull the neck of my shirt out.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Boom. You do that. That's right. And you do what?
Boo.
Or that? Boo. The other.
I used to do that.
Let me go to Linda. Hello, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Linda?
Now, I called in to tell you that my mother actually blew a hole in her lung from sneezing, and then she walked around for about a whole week not realizing that her whole left lung was collapsed.
So she had a collapsed lung from sneezing.
Yes.
And she must have been in pain. Did she think she just had she pulled something?
Yeah, that's what she thought. Yeah. She thought she pulled her back. And when they went in to do the MRI, the hole actually looked like a bullet hole.
Holy hell. Wow. Linda, by any chance, was she a fan of cheesesteaks?
God. That's
horrible. It was crazy.
Hey, Linda, did they have to stick a tube in her side?
Yes, they did. They put the tube right in her side. She had to stay awake for the whole thing.
You guys ever seen when they do that?
Yeah, they're basically reinflating the lung.
Oh, right? Dear God. Yeah.
And it just blew right back up the minute they put the tube right in her side.
Probably should have given her a tracheotomy, don't you think, Steve?
honestly, I can do them. I mean, I can't say I know completely. I've seen YouTube videos.
Yeah.
She like held in the sneeze, but didn't hold in the sneeze.
Yeah.
So never hold in your sneezes. You can blow a hole in your lungs.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Linda. Wow. Yeah, that's sage advice.
Cat sneezes are pretty funny.
Oh, I
have my, my like one cat. Of them.
Oh my God, my cat! Tingles.
Yep.
You walk down, you make yourself some coffee, come back.
Yep. Yep. It's hilarious. I'm going to go to Kim next. Hi, Kim. Good morning.
Good morning. I work in the food industry, and sometimes it's not convenient to sneeze.
Yeah.
You don't want to hold in, as we just heard everyone else say.
Mm-hmm.
So say the word grapefruit three times out loud. It's an old wives' tale, but it works. It clears the dust out of your nose.
And
you can actually whisper it if you don't want to say it. Yeah, the word grapefruit.
Grapefruit.
We did something different, but it wasn't you about the sneeze. If you saw someone doing the telltale, open mouth, eyes closed, about ready to sneeze, my sister would do this. She'd go, go. Coconuts. And then you would stop.
Huh.
Because you'd go, what the F are you saying coconuts for? And it interrupts whatever is going on in your mind. And if you get distracted when you're about to sneeze, you won't sneeze.
I'd be pissed, though.
I know.
Yeah. I want to sneeze.
I know.
You can do that before an orgasm, too.
Coconuts.
Coconuts.
Coconuts. What?
Yeah. It might work. I don't know, but
grapefruit
three times. I have sneezing can exacerbate a migraine for me.
Really?
Big time. Now it doesn't cause one. If I have one that's brewing, because they go at a certain intensity level, it begins small and then works its way up, and you got to catch it ahead of time with the medication. If I have one brewing and I sneeze, bang, dude, it's like lighting the fuse, and it's horrible.
So if you have one already working, you're saying that'll exacerbate it into a full-blown...
Yeah.
Holy F.
Yeah, and it turns into this pulsating, pounding, horrible, painful experience. But so I've learned to stop my sneezing. If I feel one coming on, I will, like sniffle or wiggle my nose or do whatever I got to do to just say, don't sneeze, do not do it.
Like the caller said, put grapefruit wedges in your nose.
Okay, that's what I should do.
I totally forgot this story until somebody texted in, but Sammy Sosa went on the disabled list because of a sneezing attack. He threw out his back. He had a sprained ligament in his lower back, and he went to the DL. This was back in 2004.
Wow.
And so he had two violent sneezes that brought on back spasms, and then he missed action.
They say after the first sneeze, Nick, which was so powerful, he actually instantly turned white.
He went pink first.
Yeah. Let me go to Tim. Hi, Tim, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, so I think it was Preston, you were talking about someone who just yells when they sneeze. Sounds
yes.
like they're getting stabbed.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a coworker that I worked with for a little while. Was in an office, alone in a room by myself, first time I heard it. It was like the whole hallway down. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just hear, ah! I'm like, looking around. I'm like, oh, my God, do I need to hide right now?
I'd be terrified.
Active shooter.
Especially if it's a doctor's office and there are people in the waiting room. The hell is he doing? Yeah.
I do that sometimes. It feels better.
Especially because I was just alone in a room by myself for like 4 hours, just in my own head, and all of a sudden just...
Yeah. No, I know.
Well, you know, what is it?
Thanks, Tim.
Physically, I know you guys are all pre-med, but the...
Why is the sneeze necessary?
Well,
what's your
also,
body doing?
Why? What is the reaction that's causing that expulsion to take place?
Let's find out, and let's also get audio of whatever this woman is doing on this video that they're playing, because
it's like a screaming sneeze.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
so
like it.
There's a mom that somebody. I'm assuming they filmed their mother who's doing some kind of a sneeze. But I gotta hear this. Oh, that'd be awesome if that was your sneeze. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
We did have an intern who was like, E-chew.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was. That's what it was like. Can you imagine?
I don't know who that is. I'd also like to know what the heck a hiccup is. Because those
what
things are annoying.
Hiccup,
yeah.
That's like an involuntary contraction of the diaphragm.
I don't like it.
And there's nothing you can do about it. And I think maybe we talked about it. I just looked it up a long time ago. But like there's. It's just involuntary with no real reason, Casey, and it doesn't actually accomplish anything. It's just this weird glitch in the human body.
Yeah.
Wow.
A bartender one time gave me a lemon wedge with bitters on it.
And that worked?
And it cured it, yeah.
I love cures for the hiccups.
Interesting.
That's another conversation.
I will go to Matt. Hi, Matt, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys, I like to listen to your show and do other things, too.
Wow. Yeah, we like rock and roll, do other things.
Yeah.
What's up, Matt?
In the summertime, obviously, when the allergies are a lot worse, I'll sneeze for 15 or 20 times in a row.
Oh, wow.
And nothing will stop it.
How are they rapid fire, or are there slight pauses between each one?
Yeah, they could be pauses. There could be, like, 5 or 10 seconds or, like a half a minute.
Does it, at a certain point, do you feel sort of a release as,
Oh, every time. Like, it feels great.
Yeah, I've heard some people, I think there's a mild connection to, is it the lonely guy where she sneezes to orgasm?
Oh, God, I'm going to sneeze. Oh, Jesus.
Lucky guy.
Give me that paper.
Yeah.
No, I like sneezing except for when I'm in the middle of something. Like, if I'm driving or...
Or performing a bris.
Something along those lines where my stability is necessary. Otherwise, I love the way sneezes feel.
I'm going to go to Jerry. Hey, Jerry, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Jerry?
What's going on?
Yeah, just want to hear what you have to say, bud.
Oh shoot. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Good Lord.
Good Lord.
My name's Jerry. I'm actually a brain injury survivor. I cracked the back of my head open 2 inches. With that, brought no sense of smell, and I can't sneeze at all anymore.
You cannot sneeze. What?
It's like, imagine, like, you get that tingling feeling when you burp, when you drink a soda.
Okay. Yeah.
So you'll begin the sneeze, and then it gets like, it doesn't finish.
Have you had this explained to you as to why this occurs this way? Or obviously you had the injury, and that's part of it, but what shut down?
When I fell, I hit the back of my head. From the blunt force trauma, the back of my brain smacked against the back of my head, forced up like a basketball to the left temple lobe, and that shift keeps me from smelling anything.
Wow!
Just from just bouncing around my head like a basketball.
So no smell. You can't complete a sneeze. Are there any other effects of that head trauma?
Circa 2005, according to UOP, I was the fastest brain injury recovery.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, good for you, man.
You know what's interesting is, you know, RC, the tattoo artist, has no sense of smell.
Yeah.
I wonder if he doesn't sneeze.
That's why he was able to do your taint tattoo with no problem, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
And yet, he's the best gremlin tracker on Earth.
Here's the
gremlins in his house.
Here's the montage of the grandmother sneezing.
Oh,
so
please.
I have no idea what this is going to sound like, but here we go.
Oh,
my God.
Jesus.
Yeah, the next to last one was best.
I like the first one.
The first one, Casey? All right.
Ow.
The second one was good, too.
I like this. Hang on. The second one?
Yeah, let's try it.
Jesus. She looks like a teamster in drag.
A Hubble.
Love the Hubble. Space telescope.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
I love you. Game of Thrones.
My dad would scream when he would sneeze. He's actually, I think that there's some control that you can implement because they've gotten quieter over the years. But when we were younger, when we were kids growing up, he would wake up the house with his sneezes.
I think also a lot of people want to help finesse it out even more to just sort of purge the system.
Kathy, I remember now. I remember the intern. It was a girl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember who exactly that was, but I remember the first time I heard it, I go, what? Was that a sneeze?
Yeah.
it was like, it was like, it had the lead up.
I think if you're a dude, if you're like, you know, Charles Bronson or whatever, excuse me for a second.
Well, somebody texted in earlier, Steve, that said he's like 6'6", 250, but he sneezes like a frightened geisha.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to rip your head off, furry.
Oh, damn it.
Nice snort.
I gotta quit snorting. I still like the idea of that's how it changed Vin Diesel's voice all to go.
That's going to be a racing movie.
All right, let me go to Jeff next. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great, man. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so my mom is a loud sneezer. Now she's 75 and she lives with me, and so anytime that she sneezes loud and it's
I'm sorry you were interrupted. Go ahead.
Sorry, so I have to run to the other room, worried that she had a heart attack, so down the steps.
Wow.
You know, so it has stopped meals in order for me to, you know, so then I have a panic attack that something happened to her because of her loud sneeze.
Let me ask you, with the very loud sneeze, is there, as Preston was imagining with this woman and the eating the cheesesteak, is there spray? Does she keep it pretty contained, or is it just noise, or is it noise plus matter?
It's mostly noise.
Okay, well that's a godsend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God.
All right. Thanks. I want to go to Kelly here because she's got an interesting one. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Kelly, you have a unique sneeze?
Yeah, whenever I sneeze, I actually shout the word Jew.
You say the word Jew.
Yeah, which I used to work for a company run by a Jewish family.
Okay.
Oh. So that was not always appreciated.
Maybe that's how Hitler started.
Well, you can't help it, right?
Whoa. All
right.
Whoa.
So how would it sound? Like
Jew. And it actually Jew. Sounds like Jew. Like,
okay, I gotcha.
Wow.
Jew! Yeah. Jew!
Wait a second. This is catching on.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm wondering if, you know, because the cartoon version written out loud is achoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And have we tailored ourselves to say that when you sneeze? Because I think
you actually did. Reported on that.
Yeah.
A while ago that now sort of ingrained in our thinking is this achoo paradigm.
Yes.
So that we used to have another intern, Preston, if you remember, who did do achoo, would
right.
A full-blown classic stereotypical sneeze.
Yeah.
And that had to be predicated on achoo.
Look up how people in other countries sneeze.
Oh, right.
Because I want to see if they they might make different sounds.
And
I think we may have talked about this before.
Yeah.
Let me go to, while you're getting that, I have Chris on the line. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Chris?
So I wanted to say, when I was a kid, I was about maybe 6 or 7. My dad had the loudest sneeze I ever heard in my life. And it was like one of those sneezes that he never had a warning for it. It was just straight up sneeze. And I would be sitting there watching cartoons, minding my own business. I'm not paying attention to anything. And he'll be sitting next to me out of nowhere, no warning whatsoever.
A blah! Yeah, there's no setup. It reminds you of that, the video of the panda and the baby. It's a panda, right? And the baby panda?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no setup, and you have a coronary because the person just detonates next to you.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have a heart attack at 6 years old.
Chris, how does it go again? Thank you, Chris. All right, Nick found it. Here we go. So around the world, the Portuguese say achim.
Achim.
The Polish say apsik. And the Japanese say hakushan.
Hakusha.
Yeah.
Jew.
So we've trained ourselves to say
achim. Yeah. Yeah. The Germans say...
Protestant.
No, not Protestant. The Germans...
Presbyterian! Presbyterian!
That seems like a difficult thing to say during the sneeze, yeah.
Does pepper make
sense? Seventh-day Adventist!
The Germans say...
Church of Latter-day Saints!
Hot chi. Or hot chi. Is that how you would say that name?
Hot chi.
Hot chi.
Hot chi. Joni loves achi.
The Hindi say achi.
All similar, right?
Except for the Japanese one, which was...
Presbyterian.
Hakushan.
No, Hakushan. And then you have the Russian say apchki. I guess something like that. The Turkish say hapsu. Korean are...
Boy named Sue.
Aichi. Vietnamese hot-ji. And then you have the English, which are achoo. So, yeah, we've kind of trained ourselves to say those words.
It's funny. Have you ever...
or the sounds, I guess.
I think I've actively... My laugh has changed over the years. I know that. And so I think you can sort of just will yourself to sneeze in this way, you know? Clearly, that's one of our interns flat out, when she would laugh, would sneeze, achoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Preston, along these lines, there are different animal noises that are made around the world, and maybe we can talk about that some other time. But
yeah.
what the cow says in Germany is different than moo.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to get a German CNC.
Yeah, so I'm getting a number of people that are on the phone lines that say that their parents would say the S word when they would sneeze, and one of them would say horse S every time he sneezed.
Actually, that would work. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it... Well, hang on. Let's go to that call. I'm going to go to Jen. That's who it is. Hey, Jen, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
We love you, Jen. So your dad would say horse S every time he sneezed?
oh my God, and it's so loud. It just comes out of nowhere, and it makes jumps. Everybody jumps in the room, and he says it every single time.
And is he saying it outright, or does that just is that just how he sneezes?
That's how he sneezes.
So,
and we all crack up laughing, and we tell him all the time that that's what he says when he sneezes.
So, Jen, we're so at home or out at a restaurant, it'll sound like he's saying,
oh, yeah.
Really? Okay. So has anyone ever responded out, yes. like, in public?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody, not that I've ever remembered anybody has said anything in public about it. But it's just with us, like, when everybody that knows him just cracks up laughing every time he sneezes.
That's pretty funny. Horse ass.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Thank you. Well, if we've learned anything, it's holding it in is counterproductive. It can be dangerous, actually. You can end up
get
with
injured.
A... yeah, you can rupture your throat. You can burst an eardrum, and you can pop a blood vessel in your brain. Or you can have a nerve accident like the one guy that called in did.
I don't know why I thought this, but I thought you were about to say you could burst into flames.
You can burst into flames. You can
crisis that ever happened.
Combust.
I exploded into flames. No. So, you know, thank God I had the love of my family.
All right, so be careful.
Yeah.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
My junk drawer is full.
Oh!
I would like to clean it out if you guys don't mind. I have a few things that speak to some interests of members on the Preston and Steve radio program. Steve, we'll start with one in here that I saw that relates to you. This is according to a Harvard medical student professor.
I went to Harvard!
No, that's not about you going to Harvard. Irving Kirsch is his name, and he says that hypnosis is a well-studied and very legitimate form of adjunct treatment for conditions ranging from obesity and pain after surgery to anxiety and stress. So there are still people that question whether hypnosis really works.
So,
and you
have
recently been dabbling in the world of hypnosis.
I read an article that said about, so, you know, I exercise a lot and do the whole deal, and I read an article about players using hypnosis to up their game, to up their performance. And so I called our friend, Dr. Rosenberg, Dr. Steven Rosenberg.
Rosenpenis,
lovingly call him. the Thor of hypnotism is what we refer to him as. But I said, is this something that that is legit? Do you do? Because I wanted to see if, you know, just to get into a better impression, what I also really wanted to do is beat this issue of not being able to take a nap or hitting the wall at 3 o'clock and just soldiering on. I just got good at just powering through it.
Right.
It turns out he's been doing this with the Flyers for years.
Oh, really?
Yes, he does exactly this.
Okay.
So, plus other things, and even including golfers.
Yeah, I want to.
Lots of golfers. Yeah.
I want to check in with him on that.
So, you know, and I've always said, I've seen people come in here when he does the smoking cessation and they walk out and they don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's always been this elusive thing. I know you were talking about TM, Transcendental Meditation.
What I do is called Mindful Meditation.
Okay.
It's a little bit different than TM, but yeah.
So I went and we recorded this thing. I sat in the room. He kind of interviewed me, gave me a couple of things. And it's sort of like a meditation affirmation thing that I listen to every day. And in like 21, 22 minutes, sometimes I fall asleep during it. And sometimes, you know, I'm fully lucid, but I feel completely refreshed.
Yeah.
I've noticed changes taking place in my exercise commitment. I mean, it's always been good. I just wanted to see if I could push it further, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I am seeing it. So,
is it meditation?
You sit there, and the same thing he does with the smoking cessation here with the with our listeners who come in. What you first do is you count down, you know, 20,
right?
And he just asks you to sort of in your mind repeat what he's saying,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know.
So he's relaxing.
He's taking you through the process, And then he's basically saying affirmation. He asked for words that I would key on, that would resonate with me, what I was looking to do. And so as I'm going through it, as he goes through it, he's just saying, I'm listening, and I put
like
this
what words?
On.
I'm sorry, like words you would key on. I'm just trying to fully understand what's going on.
Well, well, what words would I respond to in raps or also here's something. Instead of defaulting towards purchasing the healthy food that I eat already made, like going the extra step and going to the. I'll just get this, as opposed to taking an extra step and going to the supermarket and getting some stuff or getting fresh
stuff, all that of stuff. Mountain.
Yeah, and
wait,
so
you're actually doing that?
I'm actually doing it. Yeah.
Okay.
I am. I don't know if A, hypnotism is real.
Yeah.
Or if people are just acting like they're hypnotized. And if it is, I don't know if I'm actually capable of being hypnotized. Well, I don't know if I have the attention span.
Sure,
to
you're looking at the. You're looking at that's me. So, but it, here's the deal: these are things you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. A, B. You know, it's if it was a placebo, and even if it just simply worked on that level, it's still working.
Think about. And I've never gone for hypnosis therapy or anything like that, Casey. But with the mindful meditation that, and I need to get back to it. I haven't done it in months, but. The more you do it, the better you get at it is kind of the way it works. Your ability to tune things out or to focus specifically on one or two things and not let your mind wander in that stream of consciousness to go. But the thing is that what I do with this mindfulness is that you first of all, you start thinking about every part of your body. You start at your toes, then your ankles.
Yes.
And you work your way up and you think about all these different parts and you try to focus on those. And then, rather than block everything out, they say, let the sounds come in. Listen to what's happening. Don't judge them. Don't make interpretations. Just let them come and acknowledge that they're there. And things like that, at first, are hard to do. Mm-hmm. But then after you do them several times, it becomes a little more effortless.
So
and you can center, and you can focus, and you can get away from everything else for a little. And that's supposed to be healthy for you.
I work from the he has me work the other way, from the head down,
yeah.
Your shoulders.
You
now you're feeling
too,
it,
yeah.
And you're... And so then we count down from, he counts down from 20 to zero, then from 10 to zero. Mm-hmm. And even if you fall asleep while it's happening, you're still
okay.
Getting this message. It goes subliminal. It's going in there. But Kathy, so for those 21, 22 minutes that I do it during the day, I get up. You know, we always talk about the coffee napper, whatever can fight that sluggishness that you get after a nap. I'm getting right up. I'm not having that lag.
So I did something like that. You guys know I did that Be Balanced program.
Yes.
And that was part of it.
Be Balanced.
Yes.
Be Balanced.
It was a bunch of cheerleaders. We got together. We did cheers. And then, but that was part of it. It was very similar to that. It was guided.
Yeah.
And you could fall asleep if you wanted or not. It didn't matter. But whether or not you did, it woke you up or brought you out of that relaxation.
Yeah.
Like 20 minutes in and.
Did you feel refreshed?
Yes, I did.
It's pretty wild.
But then I wanted to ask you. So you said the mindful meditation. You know how to meditate?
With
you do
assistance.
The guided.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. I did. I just recently did this like 7-day guided. They kind of teach you how to meditate, and then it's actually just an app, and then you can go on to do it yourself. But
is it Headspace? Is that what it's called by any chance?
Headspace is what I use.
Okay. It's called Candy Crush.
I'll look right now. It's called Target.com. Case, it is called, no, it's called Insight Timer. And I really like it. Like, I just started doing it, and I'd like to learn a little bit more than just that 7 days, but I'm really, really enjoying it.
How long is each session?
In learning it, it's 10 minutes.
When, yeah, that's all I do is 10 minutes.
Yeah, when you go on, you can, like, set a timer. You can do 15, you can do 20, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I seem to like the guided meditations right now.
The way I look at it is, like, I can spare 10 minutes.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can.
You still
got
to set it aside,
I can
though.
Stop everything.
No.
You do.
You have to dedicate that time to it. You can't just say, I'm going to do this in the drive home, or, you know, you have to.
No,
you, have to
no,
find
you can't meditate while you drive.
No, but I mean, you know what I mean. Like, you can't do it casually. You have to set aside the time to do it.
And mm-hmm. after the 10 minutes is up, though, I'm like, that wasn't so bad. Like, what was I going to get done mm-hmm. in those 10 minutes? Like, run around my house and, you know what I mean? Pretty much just go up and down the stairs 10 times because I forgot something.
Mine's 20 minutes. And my wife's, like, she saw me go in, you know, like, I'll close the door. She goes, I guess he's just spanking it. No, but she got come out refreshed. So she went.
Yeah,
she's trying. Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
The research found that compared to people undergoing only cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, One of the most evidence-backed non-drug treatments for weight loss, depression, and many other conditions. Those who undergo cognitive behavior therapy coupled with hypnosis tend to lose significantly more weight. There are also studies on the books that show hypnosis could help kids avoid post-surgical pain or pain related to other medical procedures. The experts say in some ways hypnosis can be compared to guided meditation or mindfulness, where the goal is to set aside normal judgments and sensory reactions and also enter a deeper state of concentration and receptiveness.
I just want to recommend another app that I've used as well, and it's called Aura. It's A-U-R-A, and I used Headspace for a stretch, and it's really great. Then they end up charging you like $60 a month, so I dropped that one. Aura is really good. So if you're looking for a free app, go ahead and take that one.
Well, and you know what? Part of what I learned in the meditation is that when you are relaxed like that, and they teach you how to take these breaths and things like that, that in life, when something is going to get you to a point where you're going to freak out or you're going to get angry or
you should panic.
Well, no, nah. But that you're going to react in a negative way that you should, think about that and maybe do those breathing techniques or something like that.
Yeah.
It's worked.
Did it work?
A few other times I freaked, but.
Well, but you also have to accept that it's not an absolute across the board.
No,
it's going to work every time.
It's
no,
not.
But the more you do it, the easier it is to remind yourself
of that. Right, right, right.
And if you do it every day and you have those stressful situations that come up, you can go, remember your breathing.
Yeah.
Remember to relax.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's a good one.
Hypnotism, give it a shot. All right. Other items from the junk drawer. And this one speaks to Kathy.
Yes. Shopping.
There's something called the Target effect.
Ah.
I love it.
Yes. You're far from alone if you've ever visited a Target and end up leaving with a lot more than what you had on your list. It's known as the Target effect, and a new report explains how large stores like Target make impulse buying irresistible. They say that these big stores often place products strategically, so you'll buy them together, of course.
Of course.
And that the happy ambient design of the stores also makes you comfortable, so you also feel comfortable opening up your wallet.
So they're pumping powdered Ambien into the air.
That's what they're doing. No, they're okay, so the place, believe it or not, where I've made probably the most impulse purchases is not at stores like that Target and Walmart.
Right.
It's usually the same stuff that I see in the checkout aisle. That's where my impulse buying usually happens.
Yeah.
And it's usually candy and gum and magazines and things like that. But there's a local place in Harleysville. It's the Ace Hardware Store. They just have stuff on the way out that has nothing to do. It's just
cool stuff.
Randomly cool stuff. It's like little toys and things like that. And I almost always buy one.
You're talking about it?
I bought a doorstop one day.
Yeah?
Yes.
Because it looked like it was in the shape of a comma. And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. I could use that. It was like $10, and I bought it.
I do doorstop. I do it that stuff. So at the True Value in Roxborough, I guess it is, on Ridge Avenue. Same thing. When you check out, there are like, hey, here's a screwdriver with a flashlight on it.
Yeah.
Look at it. And the weirdest thing, here's a book on the history of Roxborough. I'll buy that.
I almost bought yesterday, because I was there yesterday with my son, I almost bought a game where you hang a string from the ceiling and a washer on it and a little hook on the wall
and you swing it
and try to
look at it. Those are so cool.
What is this?
Item. It's a game.
I want to play it.
Yeah.
Jace loves those games.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Almost
so,
bought it.
Home Goods, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, they have like basically a separate
Home Goods
aisle.
Yeah.
That when you're waiting to get to the register.
That's when they corral you. And at the end of the aisle is somebody there with a nail gun to kill you because you basically feel like you're cattle.
By the way, Kathy, I love their system at Home Goods because a little light comes on when the register's open.
Register is now available.
That's awesome. I love that.
And then Bed Bath & Beyond also, they have like, it's just a whole nother store at the cash register.
It's almost like the As Seen on TV.
Yes.
At Bed Bath & Beyond.
I could use this automatic screwdriver.
A telescoping fly swatter. I need that.
And you do.
Yeah.
You do need it.
By the way, Preston, this ring game, I first saw it when I was in Bar Harbor, Maine, and it was in a store, and we were not able to leave that store.
Until somebody got it.
No. I didn't care if anybody got it.
You?
I needed to get it. Yeah. I needed to get it.
They're calling that now. They're giving it the Target effect, the name. But it's all designed. It's all right. They're targeting you.
Do you know, and I forget who I was talking to about what products and what product makers have to go through store placement means everything.
Sure.
Everything, whether you're at the end of an aisle, whether you're halfway in the aisle, or whatever the deal is.
Oh, yeah.
And the amount of wheeling and dealing that goes on to get your placement changed. Because that whole store, most whole, the store entirely is laid out to sort of force you towards through a purchasing process.
Yeah, it's a big deal for retailers, you know, that own these products that they want to put on those shelves, which shelf it gets put on. Kathy, when we did the Target thing with you the other day, you made a point out to Nick to pick a specific shelf because you knew where the higher...
Well,
dollar items.
Yes, so I knew actually in the electronics department with the TVs that the more expensive TVs are above and below. And I don't know why that's the case with the TVs, but any other aisle, mostly you'll see the middle shelf because it's eye level.
Right.
That's where you're going to find the more popular products.
Steve, I watched a documentary a few years ago about product placement or getting your product in at all at Walmart. And what that can do, what that does, if you get it in, it makes or breaks you. And so there are these pitches that people take when they fly to Bentonville, Arkansas, and they get off and they bring, it's almost like Shark Tank.
Right.
Except that it's probably more impactful because you're doing it at the biggest retailer in the entire world.
That's wild.
It's fascinating. And then if you're doing really well, then if you get into the store itself, then product placement on the shelf can impact you even more.
And it's a whole other negotiation than at that
Absolutely,
point.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so that was a junk drawer story for Kathy. I have one now. Let me see. I think this one's for Casey.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do I get?
Well, two things that I think speak to you in this, and they're saying that millennials have been blamed for killing a lot of things, but now they're being credited for bringing at least two of them back. And I know you want to drive across the country one day, so recreational vehicles are coming back.
Yeah, not a big fan of recreational vehicles.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
I thought that would be right in your alley.
No, if I ever did do a drive across the country, I wouldn't want to do it in a big RV. Right? Like, maybe one of those ones where it's...
What about van life, like the couple we had here?
Yes. So that's what I was going to say.
Is it the hassle of driving something big around that turns you off?
Oh, no. It's the danger of it all. You know, I don't like the idea of people just kind of walking around the back, not... Not buckled in or anything like that. But it's also... I mean, it's a giant truck that, like, people don't necessarily have a license for. You know what I mean? It's not like... You know, if I go buy a giant RV that I have to go... Not unless it has, like, air brakes or, like, you know what I mean? Or if it's over a certain amount of pounds, right? Then you need a CDL for that.
Okay, well, so two things I said millennials are bringing back. One of them are RVs. I thought that would speak to Casey. No, but how about recliners?
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yes.
There, I got it.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you have a recliner at home?
I do.
Casey?
I do, and I don't like it.
I don't like mine either. I want to get a new one.
All right, can I recommend? All right.
Why don't you like your recliners?
Mine, I don't... There's a picky reason, but when you lean back, the
Jeeves can't fan you right.
No, the part where your back leans back on, where you rest your back and you lean back, it goes back too easily. So, like, if you can't just go back a little and stop there. You got to go all the way back.
Right.
And while I do like to lie prone... I don't like to do that every single time, but I do. You guys know me. I have my feet up all the time.
Yeah.
We'll be in a meeting with the CEO of the company.
Yes.
And I'll put my feet up on the table.
Your feet will be right in her face.
I'm more comfortable with that. Bill used to hate that.
Yeah.
He's used to it now.
Still? After 13 years.
You know who really hates is Bill Burns.
Oh, he hates it when
I put my feet up? He finds it. Well, I mean, listen, he comes from, like, corporate America. He wears a tie to work.
Yeah.
So
he irons his underwear.
listen, you guys don't play football in the meetings anymore, so
right,
feet up is okay.
Sometimes we do.
Real quick before I get your comment, Steve, Lazy Boy shares have jumped more than 20% recently, and during the company's recent earnings call, its CEO highlighted its acquisition of Joybird, a legacy sofa company known for mid-century modern products and e-commerce-first strategy to reach the millennial consumer. So they're saying that apparently there's a new... interest in recliners.
Yeah. So we I've always loved recliners, but they always break or it's always an issue. So, but I've always been also fascinated with these chairs you see in Brookstone, these massage chairs, you know, and they have these things and there's always people waiting in line to get them. We went to the home show in Philadelphia a couple of months ago. And so the company that makes those chairs was there. And the price for it at the home show was, like, dramatically less, like crazy, you know, crazy reduction. So we got one. This chair is freaking awesome. It does the zero, you know, the zero gravity, what they call it, where you it tilts back all the way, so you're just sort of resting, floating. It massages. It does all these things. Preston, it heats up. It has Bluetooth speakers in it.
Nice.
It's crazy, but it's a you go into the Liberty case. You saw it. Did you see it when you came
to
the house? I did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just this thing, but it's unfreaking real. Nice. I would say, bite the bullet if you've ever considered doing it.
Is this the video of it?
The one that I have is the Dewa 3D, I believe it's called.
Okay.
So it's whatever, however, your body, you know, it scans the deal. But
the only thing it's missing is a mouth to pleasure you, man. Look at this thing.
No, I got the attachment now.
Okay.
The home show, honestly, if you go directly through the company, you're dealing directly through them. The price reduction is tremendous.
By the way, people are correcting me. It's supine, not prone, of the position that I like. Prone would be on your stomach, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's nice, too.
Yeah.
I've yet to find a chair that does that. Sales are up big time on recliners and also RVs because they were up like 17% to 18%.
What about RVs with recliners in them?
Somebody texted and said that they had that.
Yeah, well, we did too. Yeah. And then the Camp Out for Hunger Preston, the couches all have recliner chairs.
My sister has an RV. It's technically it's called a fifth wheel.
Yep.
Right. It's awesome. And they bought it with, you know, they had these pie-in-the-sky dreams that they're going to drive all over the place for it. And then, lo and behold, their kids got involved with, like, baseball. And that's what they do all summer long is they go to these baseball tournaments in and around the area.
They drive it to the baseball
tournaments? No. They don't even get to use it. They're trying to sell it because they never get to use it. So
I'm a big fan of a stationary hotel that you go to.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you, I don't like my recliner, Preston, because I didn't buy it. I didn't sit in it and try it out. Okay. My wife did it, and she came home with it, and so,
woman,
yeah,
wow, well, shut up, woman.
Shut up, woman.
Yeah.
No. So you were asking me initially, and I never got to tell you. I don't like my recliner,
and it's
it's not a good recliner.
Uncomfortable.
It's just not a good recliner.
It's not a good recliner. It doesn't have enough support at the upper part of the back. It doesn't recline good enough. It's just not a good one.
Casey hates his recliner.
You are not a good recliner.
I also have this this sectional couch that we went shopping for it together.
Oh, and don't even get me started about the couch.
But, well, guess what? Guess who hates the couch?
Who?
My wife. Guess who wanted that couch?
She did.
My wife. My wife! Hey, what are you saying over there, honey?
I just drooled.
I'm sorry, Shreya. No, nothing. I love you.
All right, I have one more story from the
anything for Nick?
Or does he get short shrift?
I'm really
looking for something for Nick.
Does anything has to do with food.
Well, I could be the connoisseur for just a moment if you want.
Yeah, let's do that. Jump in there because I would hate to leave Nick.
Natalie shift gears like a five-wheeler. And it's time for the connoisseur. Yeah, pick a food that Nick likes.
Pick a food that Nick doesn't like. Yeah. There's a challenge.
Coconut.
All right. Hang on a second.
I win.
Olives.
I have olives? Stuff.
Yeah, I don't like olives. I don't like coconut. I don't like pickles.
My cousin makes this amazing stuffed olive thing that I think even you could get behind.
It's called a recliner.
Back to you, Preston.
All right. For the past 50 years, Red Delicious was the most popular apple in the United States, but that time has passed. This year, U.S. apple growers are projected to produce 51.7 million boxes of Red Delicious apples and 52.4 million boxes of Gala apples, putting Galas in the top spot for the first time.
Are Galas sweeter?
I think they're a little crunchier.
Here's the deal. There was a while...
A little bit more flamboyant?
Where I was eating apples quite regularly as part of my weight loss regimen, and I got to know apples pretty well. And I realized the most popular ones up until now, Red Delicious apples, I don't like them.
No, I don't either.
Because the...
I eat apples all the time. Someone asked me what I think about apples.
I find that the rind, the skin, is very bitter.
I agree.
In Red Delicious apples, there are some that it's very, very mild. You can't even taste it at all, and they have a nice sweet taste to them, like Honeycrisp apples are fantastic.
I'm with you.
What's that, Braeburn?
Braeburns are good.
You turn me on to those, Preston.
Yeah, Braeburns are really good,
but
too.
But I never really get to pick up.
What about...
It's about apples that people ask me. I'm telling you, I eat it all the time because of a weight loss regimen, and no one think anybody would ask me what I thought about an apple.
You just bring them home all willy-nilly.
Let me ask you your opinion, Preston, on the Granny Smith.
I have a grandmother. Her name isn't Smith, but
I think they're better for baking and cooking with and mixing with other things as opposed to just eating one by itself.
Granny Smiths are most often used for apple pies, are they not?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm. They're
really tart.
Yeah, they're tart.
Like Granny herself.
Like Granny. Like Granny Smith.
Tart like Granny.
You like it slow, you like it more harder with a firmer grip.
You're a little tart.
But you say Gala, huh?
Yeah. Gala.
Gala apples, yeah. Do you say Gala?
Or Gata Gala?
Okay.
I say Gala.
I think it's just what they make available in the grocery stores, because you see those more often now.
The Gala apples?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, of course they're going to be more popular. That's what there's out to buy.
Gala production will be up 5.8% from last year, while Red Delicious production will be down 11%.
Delicious are kind of mushy, too.
Yeah.
They kind of fall apart in your mouth.
Behind the trend is
Squirtle.
That Americans are increasingly eating apples fresh, and so sweeter varieties are becoming more popular.
Do you know what's funny, Preston? You know, we grow up and we're so used to getting our food at the supermarket, and that's where you get the food that you eat. And I have there's a pear tree in the backyard.
Yeah.
It's all over it. I'm like, and I kind of reached it, you know, that's it. Yeah. That's where the fruit comes from. And yet I find that I have an emotional block with pulling something out of my own backyard and eating it.
Yeah.
Like, but it hasn't passed to a store yet.
No, my mom and sister, when they first moved to Florida, they had citrus trees in their backyard. You know, oranges, grapefruits, limes. Cool. And I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, I can just go out there and get my breakfast, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
I don't even need to work.
Even if you don't want it, you go out and you eat one because you got it.
Yeah.
Over the place.
I was in a store the other day where they were selling lemon trees, and I was wondering if you could grow them successfully here because I don't think it would make it through the winter if you were to keep it outside. But, Steve, I bought a house in December, January, and I've gotten into gardening. And so I'm kind of the opposite of you at this point. I have several tomato plants. I got a pepper plant. And I've been eating cherry tomatoes for like the last 3 weeks. And they're fantastic.
I want to get over
pop
it.
Pop them in, man.
I want to get over the fear.
I got a guy from Burpee coming over today. The guy, Preston, that sent you some seeds. We're talking about raised gardens. We're going to do looking into doing some stuff with those guys. So, okay. This is all for next spring. So maybe I'll be successful at it.
Okay. Very nice. The most popular apple type in the U.S. is now the Gala or Gala apples, however you say it. So Red Delicious has been passed up. Nick, there you go. There's some food
stuff. There we go.
Thanks, man.
All right. That's a quick Jug Short connoisseur moment for you.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A warning has been sent out to parents of a young girl who unknowingly took home a deadly marine animal that was hiding in a shell on a Western Australian beach. After a day of playing on Coogie Beach, the girl collected some shells to take home. As her aunt was washing them, she discovered a blue-ringed octopus was hiding in one of the shells.
Wow.
Incredibly lethal.
Yes, you're right, Steve. Coogie Beach Surf Life...
What did I tell you about Coogie Beach?
Savings Club uploaded photos of the dangerous creature to Facebook as a warning to parents to keep an eye out for what their kids are doing at the beach. They said they look beautiful, but the bite can be deadly.
No one should go to Coogie Beach.
By the way, isn't that what Kyle Echo called Kathy Romano? Wasn't she Coogie Romano?
I went to Coogie Beach once. I almost died. What you having your kids go to Coogee Beach?
They said they look beautiful, but it might
even
be
the fudgy wudgy balls will kill you.
Blue ringed octopuses are highly venomous species and are usually found in tide pools and coral reefs.
Jesus.
The octopus gets its name from the circular iridescent blue markings, which are usually only displayed when the animal feels threatened and is about to release its poison. The chemical the octopus releases, which is
in
called
the full moon of the Australian summer. The children play with the deadliest creatures on the beach. And the name of that beach is
Coogee.
The chemical it releases is a tetrodotoxin and aims to paralyze.
Are you allergic to that?
Its target, most likely.
Yeah.
Only two deaths are known to have occurred from a blue-ringed octopus bite in Australia.
Well, because everyone decides not to touch them.
But many people have come close to dying. It's made them sick.
So I saw a special on the various levels of... it was actually about antitoxins and about the way you fight these things. Yep. And you know, needless to say, Australia has a huge... a wealth of those things, but the antitoxin for this particular creature is so scarce that
right,
probably best not to play with them.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a somewhat local story. A Pennsylvania man named John Anson said that he was surprised to get a call from Hershey Park saying that workers found a wallet that he lost on a roller coaster 4 years ago.
Wow.
And he said the wallet became a family joke after it fell out of his pocket on the Skyrush roller coaster in 2014. Was that the year it opened? That was 4 years ago.
It might have been during one of our broadcasts.
It may have been during our broadcast. Anson added that he and his wife were shocked to hear a maintenance crew had found the wallet, which still had all of its content intact, but it was moldy and dusty. And they got it back to him, which is pretty cool. A hotel guest is suing Hilton Worldwide for $100 million, claiming she was unknowingly filmed showering at Hampton Inn and Suites in Albany, New York in 2015, and then blackmailed by the perv who took the footage. The lawsuit filed
in... missed a spot.
The lawsuit filed in Virginia. Listen how freaky this is.
Yeah.
Where the Hilton Worldwide is based claims that the woman initially had no knowledge of her privacy was invaded until September of this year, when the self-described perv reached out and informed her of his actions. The woman from Chicago received an email from the blackmailer containing a link of the footage that had been posted on a pornographic website. Her name was also shared on the site. The next day, the blackmailer followed up with more personal information, including her reason for being in New York, which was to take the bar exam. He wrote, "I'm a perv. I don't hurt anyone. I like to watch. No need to worry about me. I just like to watch, and then I move on to the next." The blackmailer later asked the woman in a separate email to promise me my own show, or else the videos would remain on the internet and get copied on every website. He later threatened to distribute the videos and her personal information if she didn't respond by the end of the day, a threat the blackmailer followed through on October 11th. This is this year this is happening.
Jeez.
So the video was taken in 2015.
That is horrible.
The blackmailer continued to torment the woman throughout the rest of the month at times, calling her a whore and a bitch.
He's a pervert. He's calling her a whore and a bitch.
Yeah, the emailer also began sending the footage to her coworkers and eventually asking that she begin sending $1,000 for the next year, along with $2,000 up front, presumably to stop the distribution. The woman's lawyer said that he believes the blackmailer to be an employee of the hotel based on the suspect's knowledge of his client's personal information. However, the suspect's exact identity has not been determined. They don't know who it is yet.
Oh, I hope they get him.
They also said that the lawyer said he believes the hotel room was used repeatedly to film people over an extended period, and says that he is aware of at least one other secretly filmed video guest. Film video showing a different guest in that same room. So, wow.
I wonder what her coworkers did. I hope they showed, you know, solidarity and didn't.
Yeah. But she's suing for $100 million. All right, one last story. Can I do one last story?
Yep.
All right, a driver is counting the cost of a very expensive McDonald's after his car was seized when he was caught speeding. The motorist told officers that he was concerned that his food might get cold after he overtook an unmarked police car on a single-track road in the UK. However, after the details were checked, it was found that he wasn't insured, so his car was seized. The car was found to be uninsured. Oh, I already said that. A spokesman...
Do you have insurance?
...for the police said, "It's been a positive night shift on the beat.
This vehicle driver decided to overtake our officers in an unmarked vehicle at excessive speeds, putting everyone's life at risk, all because he didn't want his McDonald's to get cold. It just so happened that this vehicle wasn't insured either. It's safe to say the driver wasn't loving it.
Don't they waive insurance if you're trying to keep your food hot?
They might.
Yeah.
I've never really checked into that particular detail.
In London, they do.
That is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Many times we overlook things. I mean, we do have singles mixers,
yes,
like that from time to time. But we are all here in beautiful, productive, wonderful relationships with significant others. But there are some people who are starting new relationships, and sometimes we don't address their particular needs. And I saw this article from Women's Health Magazine.
God, you're always reading that thing.
9 questions to ask your partner for an instantly deeper bond.
So sort of a pre-interview?
No, this is after you've...
An interrogation.
No. No, you're in a relationship, but it's not like, you know, we're married. I mean, we know who we're with, and this is a person who you want to get a little bit deeper with, and not necessarily single, but you're beginning a relationship. So they have these 9 questions you can ask your partner for an instantly deeper bond.
Now you're chuckling because you must.
They're stupid.
Okay. I think there's so much, you know, there. It's almost like the days of the snake oil salesman, Preston. I think there are so many love gurus and people that do this sort of thing and these kind of articles that are sort of the bread and butter of these magazines.
Are there any hidden nuggets in any of these? Like,
well, so many of these things, Nick, are just sort of axiomatic. Like, you would know them anyway. But I'm curious to see what this is, if it's making you chuckle here. Go in chronological order, because Bill likes that.
I know. I'll just go in the order that, questions are presented. So here we go. And these are expert-backed questions.
Do we know the expert?
They have their
names. It's Joe Expert's the guy's name.
No, there's a variety of names here. But instead of the same old, how was your day, these are things that you can ask your significant
other. Why is your day?
Well, how about this? If you won the lottery, where would you travel and why? Now, come on.
So you're talking to make your relationship deeper.
That's a bad one.
Okay. My wife would punch me right in the face if I asked her.
But that's a question you might ask somebody anyway. Look, hey, if we won the lottery,
where would we go?
Honey, I've always wanted to ask you.
You know where I'd go? I'd go to you.
Yeah.
Because that's who I want to be. Because I love you. I'd take a trip to you.
Yeah.
All right, but
I'd take my boat to Tuna Town.
Let's just entertain this for a second. If it is a new relationship.
I love you.
No, but say somebody is like completely loves traveling and wants to go to these exotic places, and you have somebody who's not really into that. They don't like flying.
It's a way to find out.
It's a way to find out if you're a match. Okay.
So you know what?
You're right.
And put this in perspective while you get carried away with this sort of bachelor stuff. Yesterday I was vomiting in the afternoon after coming home from work. I got sick, yes. And my wife immediately darted out, picked up some Pepto-Bismol and ginger ale, and that's, you know, and that's love. You know, that's, you never, even though she didn't want, who wants to be hugged by someone who's just vomiting, but still.
Get away from
me. So remember, these are the important things, but
right.
Finding out where they want to go if they won the lottery, I guess that's good too.
No, but you're right, Kath. I have met a couple of people who are with significant others, husband and wife now, that they don't like to go anywhere. And to me, that is crazy. One person
in
particular...
If it works for both of them, though.
One person in particular, they were having a conversation. Oh, I would love to go to Paris. And he goes, oh, yeah? Pulls up a computer. Here you go. You're in Paris now. You know what I mean? And to...
That was enough.
I can look up Paris on the internet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. Listen, my wife, I told her a long time ago, do not be hampered by my, our schedule does not allow us, you know, listen, it's, we have to do what we have to do. We're beholden to ratings and so on and so forth. But I said, do not be beholden to that. And so I said, go travel if you have friends or you want to travel with family members. And she does. She loves to travel. I don't need it as much as she does. And we found a happy medium. But
if you can find that happy medium, that's fine.
That's fine. But I mean, to totally deny it is that's a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. My mom and dad, they've been married for 40 years. My dad loves the beach, islands, sitting, relaxing. My mom needs to be where there's like, history, like Europe. She likes to tour the buildings and the, you know, different things like that. They're complete opposite when it comes to traveling. Not sure that they had this conversation 40
right,
years
beforehand,
ago.
Beforehand, yeah. All right, so that's a question.
I never wanted a daughter.
I want to back up.
I never wanted a daughter.
I want to back up a second. Somebody texted in and says, wait, Marissa isn't single? We don't know what Marissa
is. She's not single.
We don't know what Marissa
is. I believe there is a young man. Yeah. In her life.
We'll ask her that.
Okay.
All right.
But that's her own.
See what kind of answer you get. Yeah, that's
She's not single. She's not.
Well, she won't. She's not putting labels on anything, right?
That's her right.
She doesn't want to talk.
That's her, yes.
Yeah. Oh, she's grabbing
she's
her
got
microphone.
The microphone.
All right. This is just fun to watch you guys debate it. I'm sure my mom's listening. She's yelling at the radio right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's handsome.
I'm seeing somebody. There you go.
Oh, my God. She just said it.
It is out there.
My friend.
Yeah. Well, I said to her like a couple weeks ago, I said, you can stop calling him your friend now. She left.
I think Marissa... out of just she likes to vet a little bit and make sure that somebody is worthy of the time.
2 years or something like that.
Yeah. She knows it's right when she goes home and there's a cheese wedge on her front door. Yeah.
I always bust her chops because she likes to keep things private.
Yeah.
But when you don't like ask her about things, she's like, well, why do you ask me? Because you don't give us any answers.
Well, it's so hard in this world to like debate what's going on air and what's not going on air because our whole lives are on the radio.
What I have learned is if you don't want it on air, you simply say, I don't want you guys to talk about this on the air.
Or you do what I do and just stay at home and puke.
Yeah.
Well, for 14 years, I forgot to ask you to say that part, so I'm trying to make up for it now.
All right, I've only gotten through one.
All right, I'm sorry, let's go. Okay. I mean, we're holding back the list.
Number two, if you could be anywhere in the world this moment, where would you be and what would you be doing?
I love you. I'd be right with you.
The relationship expert and psychotherapist.
Hot air ballooning over the Kilauea volcano. Where we had chocolate-covered strawberries.
This expert says we want our partners to be authentically curious about who we are on our deepest levels, but asking Bay to share his or her innermost thoughts,
you lost me at Bay,
and desires over appetizers can be a little intense. Keep it light and fun while increasing the energy and excitement by starting with an icebreaker question like this.
I agree. How well do you know your wife? I do know my wife. Is wonderful on so many levels, and I, you know, but over the course of 21 years, you learn things, and you know, there's still some mystery with her.
All right, so here's the third thing to ask, and it is: remember when we ... insert sexy
killed that hobo?
No, insert sexy memory here.
Oh, remember when we inserted something in our sexy memory?
Yeah. Rev it up by telling your partner the moments that you've enjoyed most, asking them to share their most memorable.
That dirty Sanchez.
And then together bounce around ideas of new tantalizing adventures that you would both delight in.
It was one hot girl. It was the hottest of girls.
Well,
go look up what hot Carl is.
Or don't.
Maybe
make sure you watch a video.
Yeah.
You don't want to read a description. You want to see the video.
Make sure your boss isn't standing behind you.
This is not only will
I'll
this.
Never forget that blue waffle.
Not only will this liven up pillow talk, it'll also help to reinforce that sexual fire that is still burning in your relationship.
I love you.
All right, here you go. Try this one out. What makes you feel connected or disconnected to me during sex?
I gotta go.
Could you imagine opening up that can of worms?
What makes you feel connected to me?
Not attractive in any way and not even remotely sexually arousing.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
What makes you feel connected to me during sex? My penis?
Yeah. The fact that
we're connected.
The connection.
What about eye contact, Preston?
Oh.
I love looking in your eyes. I can see it in the mirror. I can see them in the mirror.
Face the mirror, please.
I can see them in the bureau mirror.
By the way, remember that? What was that? Remember that movie with De Niro? The
This Boy's Life.
This Boy's Life.
He can only do it from behind.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So Steve, you don't have this problem because you only have pretend children.
Yes.
But sometimes I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard this that a lot of sound is made by the bed. Mm-hmm. And headboards and walls and stuff like that.
Sure.
So do you guys ever have to go, like, sideways on the bed so that you're, you know what I'm saying? You know
so that
saying?
The bed doesn't rock and so smack against the wall.
My bed doesn't make any noise, so we don't have to, or my wife, so, okay. But we make our own noise.
Okay.
There are verbal noises.
That's what the intercom's for.
Yes, as we exhale. No, we're pretty certain that we gave it away the other day. We snuck off. You've got to sneak off. When you've got three kids in the house, they either have to be gone or you've got to sneak off and try to do it. And it's hard to find that time that you're not interrupted by someone. And sure enough, man, so we go into my bedroom. My wife and I have separate bedrooms. We go into my bedroom, which is smaller, and the bed is closer to the door. So you're actually risking a little bit with noise. In case there's also...
Yeah.
Just general flesh
smacking around.
There's an applause.
There's a natural applause.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I hear someone walking in the hallway, and little sure enough, steps. I see a shadow go by underneath the door. You know, you can see just a little bit underneath the door. No, we had the door locked.
Oh, okay.
But immediately, it was my daughter, and we knew it, and we stopped, and oh, God, can I say this? I was almost there. I was right on the edge.
And it's like getting back a career. It's so hard. Yeah.
It's so difficult. You know, when you burn a bridge.
Exactly.
No, but anyway,
the Bifrost.
Yeah. Noise is definitely an issue
when
it comes to how did we get on this? How do you make me feel connected or disconnected?
Because
sex?
We said eye contact, and then Steve said something about a mirror.
You started thinking about kids.
Certainly does not hurt to you know. I think we talked about this before. Say what you like and say what you don't like, and be open to hearing that.
All right. So this expert says these kinds of questions help people put words to what they want. And how they want to feel.
What's this sticky stuff?
It taps into your core longings.
Gotcha.
By asking that
question. All right, there's legitimacy there. I don't know if that's the way you ask it, though. It's a little clinical.
All right, this is a little different, direction.
That sound coming from?
No, where's that effing sound coming from? If you were able to work in any other job for a year, what would it be? Questions like this open up the conversation to what your significant other is secretly dreaming about, and it also helps you revisit a part of their past you may not have talked about in those early days. Oh. If you were able to work in any other job for a year, what would it be? So what would you guys say? Any other job?
I would do probably some sort of event planning, wedding planning.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I can't think of anything I'd want to do. I guess be a musician or something, but I've already
professional gurner.
A gurner?
Yeah.
making those faces?
Yeah.
You get paid for that?
Yeah, of course.
Some people do.
It's the big secret. It's like Bitcoin. It's the next big thing.
Well, bitter beer face guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
He's the one.
Absolutely.
He's the one.
I mean, if I had the ability, I'd, you know... be like a golf pro or something like that, but I don't have that ability.
What about working at a golf course? Would you?
Yeah. What about the ranger?
Ranger?
Golf ranger.
Drive around all day?
No, an army ranger.
You guys need to pick it up a little bit. I don't know. Just so I could play free golf. It would probably work at a golf course. There you go.
Nick, what about you?
Like, honestly, if we won a lottery tomorrow and
No. It's what would your job be for a year?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If I could quit this job, I love this job. So this is like the dream job, but a travel agent, maybe something like that.
A travel agent.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, and hopefully along with that, you get to actually travel and go to the places and talk about them.
How about like a restaurant reviewer?
That'd be cool.
A critic. Ooh, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wield a lot of power.
How about a dishwasher at a restaurant?
Yeah, you can stick your hand in the food tray.
Already done that, yeah. And get all the prune fingers.
Our captain, Dustin and Ben, when we did that river trip through the Grand Canyon last year, I was
yeah, you dug that.
That's a pretty cool gig.
It was awesome.
Like a seasonal worker mm-hmm. like that? Interesting.
Crab fisherman off Alaska.
No. All right, here you go. Here's another question to ask your significant other for an instantly deeper bond.
All right.
What's stressing you out the most this week?
What's stressing you out the most this week?
Yeah.
I guess dumb questions.
That's connecting with your partner and trying to understand them a little bit better, but it inherently is a stressful question.
I guess if you're the person causing the stress, yeah, that could be a little
you.
Bit.
Yeah. Well, do you know something? Inherently, questions are stress generating.
Right.
You learn that.
It's all you and all your questions.
Questions generate stress. So, and I've learned that. That's why, you know, one of the pieces of advice I always impart is I never say to my wife, did you do this? It's always, should I do this?
Dude. I've tried that. You said that before, yeah. And I've tried that, and it doesn't work because it just says yes. Yeah, you do it.
Well, that's you have to be prepared to get that answer or just command him to do it.
Do you want me to scoop that
now.
The litter?
Yeah. I do it with Steve every morning now.
Yep.
I go, should I make coffee?
I love you.
You know what, Steve? Years ago, when men are from Mars, yeah, women are from Venus, some of that stuff is actually very useful, and I've used some of it as well.
To learn not to fix things and to just understand.
Yeah, and so when you do, from a guy's perspective anyway, have a confrontation of sorts or have an issue, I have learned to shut up.
Shut up.
Just shut up. Up and let her talk.
Yes,
and then there are these magic words that you will not believe until you use it yourself, which are, well, how do you feel about that?
Yeah,
or how does that make you feel?
I hear you,
and oh my God,
I support you.
I haven't tried
to say
that.
I support you.
I haven't tried that.
And you know, the more that you do frame it that way, and honestly, the reaction you'll get is much. No woman's asking, hey, you fix this for me. No.
Takes effort, though, because sometimes you're fighting instinct.
It's and hard. But also, if you're a protective person, I love my wife dear, as we all do. We love our partners
dearly. I love your
wife. Nick, you can't keep your hands up. No. But that's part of the deal. You want to help make things better, but that doesn't make things better.
I love you.
Well, no, I'm literally looking at a gay man right now. He's outside of the studio.
I'm literally looking at a gay man.
I thought you were
and I'm wondering
how often are those words uttered?
I'm wondering how gay relationships compare and contrast compared to heterosexual relationships.
My guess
relationships.
Is exactly the same emotionally.
Okay, but you also you're dealing with the same sex. Right?
That's an interesting...
All right, you want Steve to get on the mic?
He's walking in here.
Yeah. Right.
Come on in, Steve.
Steve McLean, who we've worked with
this
from
is the
day
gay man
one in our radio, in our Philadelphia radio career.
So would it be Men Are From Mars? Men Are From Mars?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, thank you for...
hey, Steve.
I just wanted donut fries.
You just wanted donut fries. And here you are. You're the voice of gay America. This poor man.
Oh my God.
This poor man just wants some Dunkin' Donuts.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now you're gonna have.
What
to,
you want to ask?
He's
him
gonna
this?
Have to give us a TED talk now.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start and how to start, but I guess Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or however it goes. But when you're dealing with Men Are From Mars, Men Are From Mars, obviously you have. Everybody has your own set and range of emotions and lines of thinking and everything like that, but.
Are there inherent issues because you're dealing with two?
Do you think it's easier? Do you think, I mean, because I'm sure you talk to men and women who are in heterosexual relationships. Do you think being in a long-term gay relationship is easier than a long-term heterosexual relationship?
No, because a relationship takes work,
right?
No matter what it is. And before we had been allowed to get married and we had stayed together, and people said, well, you know, how do you stay together so long? And there's really only one answer is you don't leave.
Yeah.
I mean.
No. That's
how you stay together. You don't leave. Because when you leave each other, even for a night or a weekend, you can't work anything out.
Hey, were you ever in a relationship with a woman?
Well, I mean, dating in high school and stuff like that. Yeah.
But is there any comparison, or was that just too early in your life?
Too young. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
but that's salient advice you just gave, by the way. You make the commitment to work through it. You don't go running, and you stay with it. And now there's some people who say it's work. It's work. If it's that much work, it's wrong.
Right.
But there is work involved. If you're sweating every time you see the person.
Part of the work in any relationship is like work on yourself.
Yes.
Like you're with someone else. So there's always like some level of compromise. It's not always going to be, you know, one way or another.
Right. So the other night I was sitting on the couch and my wife was sitting on the couch as well. And I could really go for a guy. I could go for a dude right now.
Texas Steve.
And I was clearly.
How does that make you feel?
I was not in the mood to have a conversation, and she was. And
you were wondering because the word is guys traditionally have less spoken communications during the day, correct?
Well, I don't know, but I think that if the roles were reversed and I was in having a conversation and she clearly wasn't, I would get the message clear and go, okay, we're not talking right now. You're watching Handmaid's Tale, and I'll just let you watch Handmaid's Tale. Now, with that said, this particular instance, I was not watching Handmaid's Tale. I was actually doing work. I had my laptop open. I was scheduling best of shows for, you know, a vacation that's coming up in the near future. And so I was like dialed in. I was, you know, she just kept asking questions. I'm like, what? You know?
So would you have similar situation
in there? The question is.
Thank you.
Oh, man, this is going well.
Do guys just walk away and say, okay, I get it because I'm a guy?
I personally think this conversation is silly because a relationship is between two or more people.
Yes.
That it's a relationship. You have a working relationship. You have a love interest relationship. You have all kinds of relationships, and they don't work unless two people are compatible. And that's it. Peoples is peoples, goddammit.
Wow.
Whether you're gay, straight, whatever it happens to be.
Did we learn
it's
nothing?
It's a compatibility. Yeah, from the Muppets.
From the Muppets.
So, I don't know.
Take Manhattan.
All right.
Is that the one? It was Muppets Take Manhattan.
Muppets Take Manhattan. But yeah, so I think because, listen, there's no hard and fast rule for any relationship of any kind. And it's just, so there's so many nuances that.
Peoples is peoples.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to speak for the gay community, and at the next meeting, I'll bring up if there's anything that I should come back with.
By the way, please let them know they've all earned their Dunkin' Donuts for today. So.
Thank you, Steve McClain.
Thank you, Steve.
One of our oldest and bestest friends in the radio biz.
When people Casey in says, general. He sees a gay man in the arch. That's Stevie's talking about.
Okay, can I go back to this?
I think so.
All right, so 9 questions to ask your partner for an instantly deeper bond, and we're going to have to kind of zip right
through. God damn it.
What's your biggest goal for the next 10 years? You know, whatever.
to never have another conversation.
Have you ever had a 5-year or 10-year goal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I achieved it. I joined Chippendales.
I never thought of any of the future 5 years, 10 years until I had kids, and now I go, okay.
One of my original 5-year goals was when we started doing a morning show, was to obtain the number one rating spot and hold it for 5 years.
Wow, really? You had that goal?
I had that goal, and the reason being because my line of thinking was because. Last thing I want to do is move around from place to place. I want to have my roots in one spot, and my rationale when we started the show was if we could get to number one and we hold that spot for 5 years, no matter what happens, even if the ratings went away after that, we would still be employable because we'd be valuable to advertisers, and I could still keep my roots here in Philadelphia and stay working in Philadelphia.
You have viability in the market.
Yeah, exactly.
We've seen it happen time and time again, and that was part of the deal.
So we ended up doing that. Threefold.
We're happy about that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You kidding me?
And then we also, with that, you never take it for granted. You always, you know, you always reinvent the show and always do as much as you can to spice things up.
Yep. So that's what,
like the comb over challenge,
right?
Or the intervention.
But that was, you asked if I had a 5 or 10 year plan. Yeah. That was the only one that I've ever really come up with. And then of course now we have a retirement plan and things like that, which are more practical. You know. So
isn't it crazy to think that you could be a grandpa in 5 years, 10 years?
He could already be a grandpa.
One year.
To be honest, I never thought about it until this moment. But yes, I guess that could happen. What else do we have here? What is the one thing you want to be remembered for? This is a question to ask your significant other.
I like that one.
For an instantly deeper bond.
That one's got some weight to it.
What is the one thing you want to be remembered for?
Yeah, my singing. It's kind of, well, besides your singing, your comedy probably would stick out.
Yeah, that. Well,
entertaining people.
To me, it's always important to have made people laugh and to have made people have a better experience, you know, and we get to do that every morning with the morning show and just other things. And we always said this to Preston with the show, when our heads hit the pillows at night in our sleep number bed, we don't feel like we've, destroyed anybody's life or done anything that we regret.
I want to be remembered for inventing the taco salad.
Ah.
You invented that.
No, but I'd like to be remembered for it.
Because it is good.
Because it's good. I haven't had one in ages.
Oh, yeah, really solid.
They're so good.
Just had one.
All right, and then the last question to ask your significant other to form a deeper bond is...
Are we going to do it or what?
No. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
How are you?
I can't.
I'm good.
I told you it was stupid.
You know that if you're sitting at the table and Dennis comes in and goes... Sits down and goes, how are you? What are you going to start thinking?
Get the out of my face.
I mean, because you're natural. Why are you asking this? Am I putting off a vibe? Are you guilty about something? Shut up.
All right, so here's the rationale behind that. This is from a so-called expert. It says, one of the deepest questions you can ask your partner when done with sincerity and intensive listening ear is, how are you? When you ask, make eye contact and don't interrupt. It's as much about the listening as asking the question. In the ultra-fast-paced world we live in today, we can lose sight of what our significant other is encountering on a personal level, be it at work, with the kids, family, or friends. While a simple question on the surface, it can open up the conversation. Really listening is the answer to, is the key to getting deep.
How are you? Yeah. Well, I'm really dying for some gay sex. I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Wait, do that again.
Yeah. How are you? Well, I'm really dying for some gay sex. I'm fine.
Right? All right, so... This is a...
I think we made the world a better place.
A little bit of information about relationship from Women's Health Magazine. So this is intended to be directed at ladies.
It's intended to provide more work for divorce attorneys.
Right.
That's what it's intended to do.
It is?
Yeah, clearly.
Sponsored by Cordell and Cordell.
Yeah.
I'm not lasting.
Here are 10 questions that'll help me put my kids through school. I mean, the motive, the reasoning for wanting to communicate is very valid. I think
I agree.
There are inherent pitfalls in questions like this.
Yep.
So your cash flows low and you need some dough, and I'm like, fund you.
MMR's fund you too. Your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times a day.
Hey, fund you.
Hey, fund you too.
Weekdays, tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear the hour's winning keyword. We give you 15 minutes to enter it via the MMR app on your mobile device, the contest page at WMMR.com, or text it to the short code 45911. One random entry wins $1,000 in cash.
We wanna fund you.
MMR's fund you too. 5 chances to win a grand. Weekdays at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. All the details and contest rules at WMMR.com.
Brought to you by A&T Subaru. Subarus really do cost less in Sellersville.
And by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Stanley passed away yesterday, 95 years old.
Good run.
Yeah. Oh, man. The guy had a hell of a life.
Legendary accomplishments.
Yeah.
Even, you know, you talk about... So his estimated worth at the time of death, about $50 million. There were many financial mishaps throughout his life. You know that the franchise has made billions.
Mm-hmm.
But still ended up with a lot. And his adoration skipped up exponentially in the past 10, 15 years because of the movies and a whole wealth of new people who are now massive fans.
How great would that be near the end of your life? Is when you hit the height of your fame.
The ascension, You know? So you go out on the highest note possible.
How amazing is that? I didn't even really consider that until now.
Because I kind of peaked in seventh grade, and that kind of sucks.
It's over.
At the last 30 years of my life.
But for him, I mean, and it's transcended. I know so many. It runs across all, age groups. It runs across all economic strata. It's just amazing how permeating the Marvel Universe is, honestly, it's in many ways has saved Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. The whole superhero things or just the comic books. It's nonsense. Yeah. You know, idiots. It's just these.
Well,
these
I never got into comic books, but I never thought badly about comic books or anybody who read them. Yeah. I wasn't much of a reader, but I loved all of the TV shows and the movies and all of that sort of stuff. I don't think that my son and I would have ever really had a problem connecting, but our first real connection was over these movies, you know, starting with Iron Man however many years ago. I mean, that was the big one for us. My son is a huge Stan Lee fan. In fact, it was either last year or the year before for school, they do this wax museum thing where everybody dresses up. And so he dressed up like Stan Lee.
Wow.
He loved that guy.
That's great. That would have rocked Stan Lee's world to know that.
Yeah, Casey, I wasn't a comic book guy growing up either, but I was a Kevin Smith fan. And I love Clerks and I love Mallrats. And really, my main introduction to the impact of Stan Lee was through Kevin Smith. And his homage to Stan Lee in Mallrats especially made an impact on me. And then you guys, in particular, brought me around to the Marvel Universe. I did not read any of those books growing up. And Steve, your love and adoration for Iron Man in particular. When those movies first started coming out, I was like, more comic book stuff. You know, I was kind of on the fence about it. And now I am all in.
Yeah.
I love them. Probably not quite as much as you guys, but I certainly
You're
love them. None of that would have been possible without this person. And to have an impact like that on so many people is pretty remarkable.
When I was a kid, I'd collected comics, but I didn't collect Marvel comics. I'd either collected Archie and Richie Rich and I also read this scary ones like Creepshow and stuff like that. But I never really got into. I would pick up a Captain America every now and then, Spider-Man, whatever. But I didn't become a collector until 1995, and I was late to the X-Men game. But I remember somebody telling me about this character Wolverine and showed me a picture. I'm like, that's a wild looking character. He's like, oh yeah, his bones are covered in this metal adamantium. It's the hardest substance in the universe. You could drop a building on him, it wouldn't hurt him. He can regenerate. And I'm like, he's got these knives that come out. I'm like, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. And then I started buying the comics, and I got caught up in the soap opera world of it. And I was, here I am, an adult man.
Yeah.
Like, hiding the fact that I'm reading comic books. I was
I'm a heroin addict.
No, I was a little embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
But I loved the story so much. My sister and I took a trip to Hawaii, and I remember we were in Waikiki, and she goes out to the beach, and I'm like, I'm going to stay here. I'd found a comic shop.
Oh, my God.
And I went by, and I got, like, one of the full story arcs, like Days of Future Past or whatever, that was a thick book.
Oh, it's so good.
And I just sat there for hours in the hotel room in Hawaii reading this stuff because I was so caught up on it, and I fell in love with it, and then I was a regular at the shops. They would pull the titles for me. I'd come by every week, and they'd
Big set Bang the, Theory, straight
set,
out of it.
Set the titles aside for you, and I went through that phase. I eventually got out of it, but the X-Men universe is what I fell in love with Marvel. And then it wasn't until the movies that I was like, you know, this other stuff, the Avengers just was amazing. And they surpassed X-Men as far as the movies go. But with the comic books themselves, I was an X-Men guy.
Well, if you were to look, and I kid you not, from second grade on my school books, which are always covered in paper bags that my mother had turned into book covers because I drew all over them. You would have seen on each book hundreds of pictures of Iron Man, Captain America. Those were the characters that I first started drawing. And I would sit there and just look at Iron Man.
Yeah.
And like, this is so cool. And the whole concept. And then they used to have the animated Marvel series and the Mary Marvel Marching Society. I had my card. I was a member. and the whole deal meant so much. And throughout the ages, Preston, the thing that, you know, I love the DC stuff. Obviously, I love, Batman's my favorite of all. But the thing that happened with Stan Lee and what he brought to the world of comic books was these were flawed characters. The pain that Logan has throughout his life, the things that are dealt with, the real world issues that made them, you know, almost more heroic because they are dealing with regular foibles that all humans deal with, yeah. And they're still trying to carry on. You know, when you're near God level, I mean, I love the iconic imagery of Superman, but when you're Superman, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. When you're, you know, when you, every time you use your, every time you're Wolverine and the blades come out and they cut through your skin,
yeah.
It's not so pleasant.
Not only that, he didn't know who he was.
Right.
He's like an orphan, essentially, and therefore pushes people away. And they have all these psychological issues.
Yeah.
That you didn't have in your standard hero, which was, I'm here to save the day.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to be honest, I don't even know if I had ever really even heard of Iron Man prior to that movie.
Yeah.
And Steve, it was like your excitement over this whole thing that really got to me. I mean, obviously, when the first trailer came out, you're like, okay, this thing is pretty badass. But, you know, I think you're...
I think I might have cried when I saw that trailer.
Well, yeah. You have, and I don't know if you have it here, if it's at home, but it's the sculpture of the guy making Iron Man, right? Like the very first Iron Man?
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting out of the cave?
Right, 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 yeah.
That guy?
Yeah.
I was the same way. I knew about the character Iron Man, but he never really... captivated me, but when I saw that trailer of the suit breaking the sound barrier and that, you know, that cone, that vapor cone, I'm like, whoa!
Well,
this is going to be awesome.
There's a whole, and we played the clip earlier of Stan Lee's take on, you're talking a multi-generational work that he's done, and how does he feel the movies have caught the flavor of what he did.
I'll play it again.
Yeah.
Well, I just love everything that Marvel has done. They've taken the things that I created, and they're making them look better than ever, and I'm getting the credit for it, and they're doing all the work. It's the greatest situation. And if I didn't like one, I wouldn't admit it, because it would be bad to do in an interview.
Preston, and you said it a few years ago, and it's still as true as ever. This is every bit like when the next... Avengers movie comes. It's the best rock show that you've ever waited for.
Yeah, the band you've been waiting to tour is finally coming to town,
mm-hmm.
and you're excited about going to the show. That's how I feel about when these movies open.
Marvel, and specifically also the Russo brothers, who've been and Kevin Feige, is that how it's?
Feige, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. These guys have been honoring Stan Lee's work with incredible stuff. And the stories just keep getting better and better.
All right. Up until this point, what is your favorite Stan Lee cameo to date?
I know the one.
I have one.
And it might be from Winter Soldier or it's from Captain America versus Tony Stark. God damn it.
Civil War.
Civil War. Yeah. Are you Tony Stank? I think that's my favorite one. Yeah. I know my kid's favorite one, though, is from Deadpool. Next on stage, Chastity. You can't buy love, but you can rent it for 3 minutes.
I love one that's in a substandard, The Amazing Spider-Man. Where he's got headphones on in the library when the Spider-Man and they're having a massive fight behind him and he can't see what's going on.
Yeah,
but it's a substandard. He also has he has one in the Incredible Hulk. Well, you know, where he doesn't really even say anything. He drinks some tainted.
He drinks the soda
right
that was tainted with the blood. Yeah.
Now the word is they've shot a couple of cameos.
Yes.
He was aware.
Yeah.
There's a clip of him talking about his mortality and being afraid of death with Larry King, which he was not.
There we go.
Are you afraid of dying?
No, not at all.
Do you think you go somewhere?
No. The one thing I can't understand, I can't grasp my mind around, I feel when you die, there's just nothing. It's like when you're asleep and you're not dreaming. But I can't imagine nothingness lasting forever.
That's
the thing that I cannot get.
We didn't play this clip earlier. Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Played Wolverine, obviously, for several films.
So think of the careers. That have been made because of what cropped up in Stan Lee's brain.
Essentially revived Robert Downey Jr.'s career.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Made him a Hollywood heavy hitter.
And Chris Evans.
Yeah. The whole deal.
Yeah. Here we go. This is Hugh Jackman remembering Stan Lee.
I remember Stan as a true gentleman who had this glint in his eye. He's a creative genius. He thought outside the box. He created a whole universe that changed the lives of many people, mine included. If you ever want to get a real understanding of where you're at in the world, and you think, oh, I'm Wolverine, I'm walking into Comic-Con, this is, you know, this is my spot, right? This is a good day for me. And I was on a red carpet, and I was the only one on there. And no one was taking my photo because at the other end was Stan Lee. And there was about 300 photographers and interviewers just all on Stan. And I was just like, anyway, Stan, God bless you. You're one of the greats.
Wow. People are texting in about great cameos. There's one I forgot about, Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a picture of him.
He's animated.
Yeah.
And he has a voice. We don't have the clip from Mallrats, do we, where Jason Lee is talking to him about the ones that he's created over the years?
The characters he's created.
Because Jason Lee starts listing off all of them. And pays homage, and it's really Kevin Smith through Jason Lee paying homage to all of the characters that that Stan Lee has created.
Well, Huffington Post has a list of 100.
I've got that, and they used a formula to determine which of Lee's creations have had the largest impact. So they, I mean, take it with a grain of salt.
And they even say know this is going to unleash a wealth of hate mail and so on and so forth. But it's a shot at it.
Yeah, so they took the Marvel database. It says, think Wikipedia, but for people who spend their adolescent Wednesday nights at Weasel's Comic Vault. And they downloaded data on 54,000 characters included there. That's how many characters. Some of them are one-offs, but there's a lot of characters. So how do you figure out what's most important to do this? We stole a trick from Google. The way Google decides the importance of a page is by looking at the number of other pages linking to it. Likewise, we counted the number of connections each character has to other characters. So, for example, if Peter Parker went on a trip to Titan with Tony Stark and it merited a mention on his character biography, then we would count that as a connection. So
it's
what they use.
Exposure and, way, yes, something will be at the top of a Google search. They're sort of using that.
So I'll just do the top 25 because there's 100 here. There's way too many to go through. And to be honest, a lot of characters I've never heard of before.
Likewise.
So
we're not Greg Lagans after
all. So we'll start with 25. Robert Drake, which is Bobby Drake, that's Iceman.
Yes.
Yep. Who has more power than most people realize, which you find out in the comics. Warren Worthington III, and I don't remember who that is number 24. You're going to have to do searches for us real quick. Warren Worthington. It's going to be somebody, and we go, oh, it's them.
Oh, come on.
Wait, Preston, it's Judd Hirsch.
No.
Oh.
It's Angel.
Yes.
Who's one of the original... No. X-Men. He was Angel, gotcha. And then eventually became Archangel. Then you have Jennifer Walters. I don't know Jennifer Walters.
Oh, she was on American Idol, remember?
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh. Her,
Jennifer Hudson. That's what you think about.
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk. I've always loved She-Hulk. She-Hulk is hot, and She-Hulk actually possesses her wits.
Yes.
So she has... there's a blood transfusion she gets from the Hulk, from Bruce Banner, and the stories have changed over the years. But she's a lawyer, and you know, she wins her cases just simply by ripping the head off of the person she's up against in court.
Wow, really?
Well, no, but she's well, I see. I'm not going to win this case if you don't. No, but she's very sexy.
Number 22 is Otto Octavius.
Okay,
so that's Doc Ock. There's your first villain in the top 25.
Yes. Oh, by the way, again, there's a tormented character.
Yeah.
That you understand.
Yep. Number 21 is T'Challa.
Yes.
So that's Black Panther. Number 20 is Nick Fury.
I would love to know the story behind Nick Fury.
You're going to find out.
He sold for Amway.
No way.
Captain Marvel's going to go into a lot more of Nick Fury's backstory, and it takes place in the 90s.
Nick Fury may be a really, really, really old person like Wolverine.
Yes.
They may have done some testing on him or given him, from what I understand, that he's actually older than he appears.
Black don't crack.
Totally. 19, Jean Grey.
I'm surprised she's that far down on the list.
Could be the most powerful of all of these characters as far as sheer power, because when the Dark Phoenix took over, she destroyed an entire planet. So that's pretty powerful.
And that really, that cut down on her party invites.
Yeah, it did, unfortunately. Number 18 is Clinton Barton.
Why am I having a brain fart? That Hawk sounds man. Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yep. Hawkeye, whatever you want to call him.
And BJ Honeycutt.
Yeah, that's right. From MASH. The other superhero from MASH. Then you have Wanda Maximoff.
Number 17. number 17 on a list Kathy could care less about?
She's Scarlet Witch, Wanda Maximoff. Then you have Henry Pym.
Ah.
Hank Pym, who is the original Ant-Man.
Yes.
Number 15, Norman Osborn.
Mm,
who
the
is Green Goblin.
Goblin.
Yep.
All right, so wait.
And Harry's dad.
Harry's dad, okay.
Willem Dafoe.
Harry Osborn is, does he become a goblin of some sort?
He becomes, so there was Green Goblin and Hobgoblin, and I believe Harry in the movies was Hobgoblin.
And then there was Goblin the Nobbin.
I don't know the comic book lore of Spider-Man nearly as well as I do the movies.
I used to be much better because there's just so much to know.
And, you know, there. Honestly, we have to pleasure ourselves sometimes.
Number 14 is Henry McCoy, Hank McCoy.
Yes.
That's Beast. I always liked Beast a lot.
Great character.
Yeah.
Did you like Kelsey Grammer as Beast?
I did.
Yeah.
I really, because that's how he was portrayed in the comic books.
Right.
Very, very studious, wore these little glasses, and was extremely intelligent, and he said witty things like, oh, my stars and garters, which was a regular for him. I always like that character, Beast. Number 13 is Max Eisenhart, and that I don't know. And that's pretty high up.
Nick, the genius experiment? It's Magneto.
Magneto?
That's his original name.
Eisenhart? Why did I never know that?
Well, he's in the concentration camp, right? At the
yes, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, is that what he calls him, though?
I don't know. Magneto's awesome, though. Yet another villain who your heart goes out to.
So in Apocalypse, when they have when he's tried to set his life straight, he's trying.
Mm-hmm.
He saves a guy's life in the factory, and it ends up blowing up in his face.
Mm-hmm. So he's trying to do what he thinks is the right thing.
Right.
There's this horrible, discrimination against mutants, and he's just trying to stand up for them, but takes it to an extreme level of, let's eliminate all the human beings.
Too much, yeah.
So is that an allegory to Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X? I read at one point that Stanley used that debate to frame Magneto versus Professor X.
Wow.
I don't know. It's very possible.
It very well might be, Nick, because they were, you know what? That makes total sense. You have the any means necessary on one side with Magneto, which would be the Malcolm X, and then the Charles Xavier, let's all live together. We can learn to cohabitate together. So that's a great allegory. Jonathan Storm, Johnny Storm.
Yes.
So that's the Human Torch.
Chris Evans played two Marvel characters. Obviously, Captain America was better for him.
Agreed. So that's number 12. Number 11 is Charles Xavier, Professor X. Number 10, Scott Summers.
Number 10, Scott Summers.
And that's Cyclops. Number 9 is Matthew Murdock.
Daredevil.
Daredevil, of course. Oh. Boy, he's way up there, man.
I love Daredevil. Yeah. I've always loved Daredevil. And one of my favorite Daredevil treatments was the one Frank Miller did, who also was able to breathe life back into the Batman series.
Yeah.
But the Frank Miller Daredevil storyline is phenomenal.
All right, so Steve, I'm a little bit behind. I haven't finished the second season of Jessica Jones. Then I have to go to Luke Cage and then Daredevil. I have to go in that order, right? I can't just go and watch Daredevil, right?
You could watch Daredevil 1, Daredevil 2, Daredevil 3.
I'm all caught up except for the latest three that have come. I watched The Defenders and Iron Fist and all that. So I should probably
do it. There's a couple things. It's not Daredevil's my favorite of a lot with The Punisher and Jessica Jones. Those are the three. But those are the three that have survived.
Here's a character Steve came around on. Stephen Strange is number 8.
I was vaguely aware of Doctor Strange. And then I really did love the movie. It was like a big M.C. Escher, painting come to life. And then in in Infinity War, when they let him do what he does, I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now I get Dr. Strange.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know much about him, to be honest, until the movie hit. Then he had number 7, Victor Von Doom. So Dr. Doom.
Victor Von Doom is more of one of the rare sort of, I think, one-dimensional villains in the lot.
Very vain.
Yeah.
And just wants to satisfy himself.
Right. We all do it sometimes.
Well, of course, you said we need time for that.
Yes,
number 6 is Benjamin Grimm.
Ah.
The Thing.
Yeah.
So.
Tragic character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who turns a. Though there is. There, he does have a girlfriend in one of the Fantastic. And he has, I guess, throughout the lore. I don't know how that works out.
No.
During.
Well, that theme is common in a lot of Stan Lee's stuff. The Forbidden Love.
Yes.
There was a great story arc.
I'm going to go home and bang my rock.
In X-Men, which was, Rogue and Gambit. And they were deeply in love with each other, but you can't touch Rogue. You can't have physical contact.
She'd kill you.
They couldn't kiss anything, but they had this love for each other. All right, then you have, we're into the top five.
Top five.
Number five, Thor, Odin's son. Thor's awesome.
All right,
unbelievable.
Thor is awesome.
And when he arrives on the scene in Infinity War at the end.
Oh, my God.
Step aside!
It's awesome.
All right, so on your list, it says Odin's son is one word.
He's Jewish.
Okay, but is his last name Odin's son? I know he's Odin's son.
Yeah, it's like somebody in Days of Yore.
Like Johnson.
Johnson, exactly.
Okay.
Thor Johnson.
Your dad's name is John. Thor Johnson.
Name is
named
Thor.
Johnson.
Johnson, Thor.
Yeah.
Your fries are ready.
Grande latte.
These are very good.
Johnson, Thor. You're going to fix that, buddy.
Number four is Reed Richards.
Oh.
Captain Fantastic.
We missed a number six.
Oh,
Mr. Number
Fantastic. Six.
Not Captain Fantastic. Mr. Fantastic.
And the Brown Derby. Number four. I would say this. I always liked the Fantastic Four. I was never hog wild for the Fantastic Four.
Me either.
Cartoon-wise, I loved the Fantastic Four. Movie-wise, they kind of missed the mark
on
both of them.
And then in the reboot, they dropped the ball again.
Yeah, well, I guess it was in the Rise of the Silver Surfer when they had the Mr. Fantastic dancing on the dance floor. Oh, God.
However,
so dorky.
Lawrence Fishburne as the Silver Surfer. I love the Silver Surfer. I wish they would give him a little bit more.
That was a great character.
Yeah.
God, when I was a kid, I did like Silver Surfer an awful lot.
I drew him a lot.
Then you had, because he had the Mercury Surfboard.
Mercury Surfboard.
Yeah.
Freaking Mercury Surfboard. God.
We're in the top three. Number three, Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hulk.
The Hulk, exactly.
They changed the name to David when they did the TV series because they thought it sounded less effeminate.
What?
That was the ad. That's what
is. Really?
Not, yes. Bruce is not.
Bruce was too much of a gay name?
I think that's what I read. Okay. Yes.
I wonder.
It's not like it's Percy Bannon.
Right. I wonder. You know, the alliterative names are obviously very, very big.
Yes.
In comic book lore. So Bruce Banner, you stick with that. Number two, Tony Stark. Iron Man, and this is, you know, the movies, I think, help propel that along.
Well, also stop and think about it. You know, who, Robert Downey Jr., could you be any more perfect in the casting? I remember when that first movie came out, and Jon Favreau directing and the whole deal, I was talking it up so much that my wife, who really could have given a rat's ass, got so excited that we were doing the show the day it opened up, and she texted me that she went to like a 10 o'clock in the morning matinee without me and saw it.
There is a serious omission here, because you know what number one is, right, Steve?
Yes.
Oh.
You know what name has not been said yet? And I'm looking back. Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Yeah. Oh, I don't see it.
But this is based on the algorithm of the searches.
Then it's got to be incorrect. Hang on a second.
Because Captain America is one of the absolute foundational.
Well, was it not entirely a Stan Lee character? Cartoonists Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
Yeah, you know,
existed before. Okay,
never mind.
Boom.
What about
number one is Peter Parker.
Peter Parker.
Yep. So
I think that's
Kathy. Hey!
Welcome.
Kathy has joined the conversation.
fanfare or something.
Something. Give me something.
And
you know what that just reminded me of? In Revenge of the Nerds 2, the nerds are all going through these figures, and they're going, and I'll take the square root and the this, and blah, 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 which is 2, and 2 plus 2, and the ogre goes, 4! 4! Nice job, Kathy.
Thank you.
He was the one, I think, that Stan Lee said he most felt connected to.
Yeah?
Peter Parker.
Okay.
In just his sort of fumbling way.
Most successful of the comics, I would assume, would be Spider-Man. He's been around for so long and beloved and never got old.
Yeah.
Never got old.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
by the way, the game, Steve, I'm on the final battle right now of the game. I had to stop because I died so many times. but I'm in the final battle. That this is one of my favorite video games of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, this
so
current
I'm about halfway through.
I
keep stopping and starting.
It's fantastic. So anyhow, we got so much from the mind of this guy, so much entertainment over the years, whether it was, you know, bonding with another person, a relative or making friends by talking about this stuff. Going to see these movies now have turned into a multi-generational thing. It's so awesome.
And it's not just a comic book guy nerd thing. It's everything. The amount of women who are into this and rabidly into this and just everything. It's for everyone.
Elon Musk tweeted out
yesterday
about it. He's a genius right
there.
He's
Tony Stark.
Yeah, exactly. So, but 95 years, what an amazing legacy from Stan Lee.
More of the Preston and Steve Show podcast after this.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Let's start in South Carolina. A man turned violent in a dispute over salt and vinegar potato chips. Ryan Dean Langdale had warned his 17-year-old cousin not to eat his chips.
Don't
when
eat
his
my chips.
Relative did, Langdale shot him.
Shot him.
Shot him.
Because of the chips.
The cousin said that Langdale had warned him, and I quote, "Do not touch my chips or I'll shoot you."
And what did he do?
Well,
he shot him.
He shot him. Langdale now faces additional charges because the story he originally gave to authorities didn't add up, they said. Langdale reported the incident as an accidental shooting. The sheriff's office said Langdale told deputies his cousin had accidentally shot himself by dropping a hunting rifle while cleaning it.
Uh-huh.
The sheriff's office said, "We knew from the beginning that something wasn't right. The more we looked into it, the more it seemed odd." So dude shot his cousin.
They did an intense session of good chip, bad chip, and that's how they got it out of him.
It was over the salt and vinegar potato chips.
You like those chips?
They're my favorite.
Yeah. I love them.
No kidding.
They're really good.
I love them.
Kettle cooked or regular?
I'll take either, okay. As long as it's got that salt and vinegar flavor. If you live in a big city, you likely spot some poop on the sidewalk from time to time, but a new study reveals you're far more likely to see poop in
San Francisco
than any other place in the country.
I love San Francisco.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Bennett.
Thank you.
Is here
Thank
this
you
morning.
So much.
Yes, you're more likely
the city
to see.
It's in my heart.
You're more likely to see poop in
knee deep in dookie.
In San Francisco than you are in New York or Chicago.
Seems like years ago I was out. Little young man running around building poop men.
That's right.
Like snowmen with corn cob pipes,
but
carrots for noses and cold fries.
You're more likely to see poop in the city by the bay than the city that never sleeps or
and it smells so good.
My kind of town, Chicago.
Thank God it has a lot of wind.
The study was conducted by real estate listing website Realty Hop, and used publicity available.
You want to know the reality? It's a lot of poop.
And 311 data to find there were 21,000 complaints about feces logged in San Francisco in 2017.
Logged. I get it.
And that is 10 times as many in New York City and 20 times more than Chicago.
Is that not staggering that many people are crapping on the streets?
The number of poop-related complaints logged in San Francisco has risen every year since 2011. And the data...
God, I gotta get back there.
The data shows no correlation between median home value and feces sightings in general.
People are so free there, Preston. They just drop trow and let it pour out.
In general, people were most likely to complain about feces sightings on Mondays than Tuesdays.
You know that big curvy road out there in San Francisco, Preston?
Yeah, that's
Lombard
Street, yeah.
I want to poop on every curve. I almost made it once.
And they are far more relaxed about seeing the stinky stuff on the weekends, by the way. So,
well, weekends are the time for dookie.
That's right. So, lots.
Beautiful city.
Way more poop
bathed
than
in human poop.
Ever anticipated.
It's unbelievable. You've had,
I mean, the amount of stories coming out of there is just ridiculous.
Lots of stories.
They may need to look into correcting that.
Dude, when we were in Copenhagen in Denmark, and we were taking a walking tour of the city.
Don't tell me it can beat San Francisco for poop.
I don't know, but I saw.
I don't want to hear it.
A fresh pile.
Of human poop?
Of human poop that our tour guide.
Now you're making me homesick.
Pointed out to us, and it was next to a very significant historical statue.
Oh, my God.
It was fresh, still moist human feces. Nasty.
It just defies all reason.
All right, moving on. A crash between a log truck.
Again with the logs.
And another vehicle has police saying that one of the drivers is lucky to be alive. It happened Tuesday afternoon in Louisiana. The log truck was stopped at a red light when the second vehicle slammed into the rear. When the vehicles collided, a log went through the front windshield and all the way to the back glass. And I mean, right through the driver's side.
Dear God.
And I saw the picture of it. It looked amazing. Mm. The woman was able to move her head to avoid being hit by the log. There was also a one-year-old child in the back seat, and no one was injured in it. If you saw the photo, you'd be amazed. Now, somebody didn't get killed in this. Police
are astonishing.
They're still investigating the crash. It was a very big log, by the way.
I used to have a present. It was kind of made the rounds years ago. It was a DVD of highway safety films. Mm-hmm. And in this film, they show the different crashes that can result from erratic driving and not paying attention to the road. Yeah. And this truck driver was transporting rebar. Oh, so he has the rebar in the back of the truck. He had to slam on the brakes, collided with something. All those bars of rebar blew through the cab, through him.
Yeah.
So he's got like 7 rebars sticking through his chest.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Terrible.
Did he die?
He died.
Yeah.
Two more stories. Helzberg police are hoping to nail the thief who snatched a hammer, but not just any hammer. It's a 20-foot-long hammer. It's made from steel and wood, and the hardware theft couldn't have been easy because it weighs about 1,000 pounds.
I bet when he tried to pick it up, he pooped.
It's part of an art installation program and was on loan. The hammer was discovered missing last Friday from the front of the Helzberg Community Center, and they have no idea who could have gotten away with this thing. It's gigantic.
It's very impressive.
It's really cool looking.
I think, who wouldn't want that on their front lawn?
And I saved the best, sort of.
You started with the best, my friend.
For last. This is from Scotland. A man is fighting for his life after a dog bit off his penis and testicles.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
You are a murderer. You're a hater.
Okay. Emergency services raced to the scene in Haddington East, Lothian, after the alarm was raised on Sunday. Cops found the 22-year-old victim unconscious in a pool of blood in his apartment.
Oh, my God.
An old English bulldog, which was drenched in gore, was also found at the property. It is understood that the animal belonged to a friend of the man. Ambulance crews called for police backup, and the victim was rushed to Edinburgh Royal Infirmary for treatment. He's now thought to be in a coma, having to be removed, moved to Western General Hospital.
Well, there's no coming back from that. You've been mauled. You've had your junk destroyed.
He lost his penis and both of his testicles as a result of the attack.
So that was he doing the old trick where you put the little cheese treat on top of your penis?
I don't know. The victim hasn't been interviewed by cops, and he hasn't regained consciousness since the incident. The dog is being held in a kennel while cops carry out a probe, and it's not known if the man owns the dog. A source said officers who were there are confident the injuries were caused by the dog because of the extent of the damage.
They're fairly confident that the dog bit his schlong off.
The police officer said everyone there was shocked and sickened by it, so that's...
Sounds like a gory, bloody mess.
God, that is messed up. All right, and there you go. What I got in the bizarre file for you this morning.
That was tough.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram presents MMR's Mudder's Day 2019. Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, Saturday, May 11th. $15 per Jeep gets you in and a go at the custom dirt obstacle courses and mud pits.
Join us for another great day with our Jeeps in the dirt and mud. Plenty of room for spectators, too, with free parking. There'll be hundreds of Jeeps on site, Jeep parts to win, and you can even score MMRBQ tickets. Plus, cool vendors. vendors and food trucks, including Two Street Sammy's and DHY Motorsports.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
What's going on, Steve?
Well, Heidi Klum's oldest child, 14-year-old daughter Lanai, was introduced to her biological father for the first time ever while on vacation in Italy. Lanai, raised by the singer Seal, reportedly hit it off with her genetic dad, Flavio Briatore, who made her feel comfortable by using a nail gun on his cheeks.
Oh, my God.
John Mayer's Beverly Hills home was hit hard by a thief mid-morning on Friday. The intruder got away with $200,000 worth of musical equipment, as well as a collection of finger cots Mayer wore while blasting Katy Perry.
Oh, my God.
And finally, apparently the price had to be dropped a few times on the legendary Howard Hughes estate in Palm Springs. Apparently, the price had to be dropped a few times because the pool is reportedly still filled with his piss.
Oh.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
Looking at a really cool picture on MMR's Instagram page of Pierre Robert and Jon Bon Jovi before the show started down on the event floor, just hanging out and talking. It was when Pierre was doing an interview with him, and it's such a cool shot. We had our 50th birthday party. The official. Now, listen, we're celebrating all year long.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a whole bunch going on, but this was one big step in that celebration.
Yeah, and that was the Bon Jovi concert last night and officially commemorating MMR's 50th birthday. So I didn't get to make it. Obviously, I was under the weather, but Steve, you went there, and Nick, you were there as well.
And Marissa, yeah.
Marissa came too, yeah.
And our special suite that we had for listeners that we gave those away. So it was. I heard it was great.
Well, I showed up. I was there about 5:45, and Pierre had been broadcasting, as was Jackson and Sarah, and Bill Weston was down there. Everyone was, you know, making their way down to the complex. And so there was a little VIP party for some people, and there was a suite. And the second you got there, it was just a really cool, chill vibe, and everyone was just thrilled that this was happening.
Steve,
and
did you notice the number of people waiting outside, like the tailgating? And it was hot.
But they were loving it.
It was a really good vibe in the parking lot. And, it was a sort of a mid-spring heat wave. But people seemed to be having a good time. And they were starting to line up to get in early.
Yeah.
It was hot, but it wasn't impressive.
No, it was good.
The humidity was great.
It was a nice breeze.
Did Gary Lauer come and find you guys?
I encountered Gary Lauer about six separate times.
Yeah, me too. Really.
So when I rounded one corner, he's pulling the bag out of the garbage saying, "Welcome to the house."
Yeah, did he remind you were in his house?
I was in his house, but he actually sent you good wishes. He was worried about you.
that was nice.
Honestly, if you blink your eyes quickly, you'll start to see a strobe effect and Gary Lauer will appear in it because he is all over that place. Yeah. But he's a working man. But it was the vibe was great. The people in the suite, I think all but one or two of them had ever been in a suite like that for an event. The suite was really great. We were joking it was going to be, you're looking at Bon Jovi's taint.
Right.
But they changed the position of it, so it was a really good vantage point. And, Jackson and Sarah went up early. They brought they did after the opening band. Or did they bring up that opening band?
They did, yeah. They entered the intro.
What was the name again? Because they did a really good job.
Get the Foxtrot and the
Get Down.
They did a good job, man. They had like sort of a proper arena sound. And you got to imagine, this is a band that, I don't know what level of venue they were playing, but they certainly aren't playing the Wells Fargo consistently.
Right.
And it was cool, and they really brought their A game. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. John spent some time with Pierre, which was the picture I was referencing, and we have a couple of clips.
I'd love to hear him.
So I'm going to play that. This is John and Pierre talking about the longevity of MMR.
We are here on the floor. The sound check has just ended, and we are here with Jon Bon Jovi. Good day, sir.
Good day, my brother.
Tonight's our 50th anniversary celebration for MMR.
That's great.
The passion of our listeners is why we're still able to be here. And much like, I think, a rock and roll band, I equate it to a train that left the station in 1968. Some fans have been there with us the whole time. Some have gotten on and off along the way. And I think you could say the same about Bon Jovi, right?
Sure, most definitely. I mean, you know the history that we have in this town. So from before the first record, 35 years ago, the history that I have in this town, we did our second album here, of course, the Soul Foundation, all the charitable works. And so a lot of people were there in the very beginning when we were playing in the nightclubs on South Street and got off along the way, and the Spectrum came and went and Veterans Field came and went. You know, I mean, the buildings are gone and MMR are still here and Bon Jovi are still here.
Nice. I love it. He did give us a shout-out from the stage. I'll play that in a moment. But this is him, John, talking about radio and its importance.
Yeah, the inception of this band is unique because it was a DJ. You know, you are an anomaly, my friend. You know, I mean, in a world of computerized playlists of 12 songs with no real DJ, MMR, Pierre Robert, Philadelphia is a unique situation. And so, you know, it was a DJ who made Bon Jovi happen and got the record company to sign us. And so, you know, we know how important radio can and should be to the listener and to future generations of rock band.
Love hearing that.
I was actually going to ask about that comment. So I listened to the interview yesterday, and John was very genuine with Pierre. But when he said that it was a DJ, he was talking about Pierre?
No. A guy that first gave him their shot was in another market, and I read about it not too long ago because I think they had him out to the... He gave him a shout-out at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Paul Barsky. Okay.
No, it wasn't Paul Barsky. It was a guy that John had came in, and I think he had, gave him a record, and he spun it on the air for the
but
first time.
In general, and as you pointed out, Preston, you had a little anecdotal story about handing a card over to...
He is to John himself. Yeah. I had Richie and David Bryan on my show early in the day. Bon Jovi was playing that night. I met John at the show and I handed him a business card to get an autograph. It was the only thing I had. And I'm like, here, would you sign this? So he signs it and he flips it over and he saw that I was a music director at a radio station and he wanted to thank me for playing the record. And he says, you know, we can't do this without radio support and all this stuff. He's always been a big fan.
Always understood it. Always understood the process.
And knows that one hand washes the other.
Yeah.
So he was really, really cool about that.
Yeah, and he has similar remarks when he thanks the radio station from the stage, which was really cool. And whether or not you like Bon Jovi or are a fan, this is a band that has sold 100 million plus records, mm-hmm. that can still sell out the Wells Fargo Center. And it's not lost on them where they came from and where their roots were and the fact that Philly has embraced them so much over the years. John has never forgotten that. And Steve, you were talking about this yesterday, and I could not agree with you more that he appreciates it, and it's a genuine appreciation.
Yeah.
And some artists get really, really big and kind of forget. John is not.
There are a number of artists that should really be following his example. Listen, you never want to say you're in your... How can friends be in debt, as they say? But the truth of the matter is this station is owed a lot by a lot of artists that have not return the favor or kept the relationship going, especially to the level of John Bon Jovi and the band.
Yeah, and his appreciation and friendship with Pierre Robert is something to admire as well.
It's great.
Bruce Springsteen. let's play a clip of John from the stage.
You don't know how lucky you are to have such a great rock and roll radio station that believes in the power of music and connection with its people. I want to thank them for all their support for all these years, so happy birthday to them all. We're also, we're celebrating, what the is it called? Oh, yeah. You guys finally won the Super Bowl.
That's pretty good crowd pleaser right
there.
Yeah. Anyway.
He did talk a little bit about regretting not going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he said so many people, you know, associate him with Philadelphia. Afterwards, he was like, maybe I should have went.
Well, he gave some love to Pierre specifically later on. John himself grew up like a Giants fan, but he owned the Soul for a long time. And so he gave some love to the Soul. And then I think he's buddies with Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots. But he was, mostly is just a big football fan. So
yes, yeah.
I think he was, he was just saying congratulations to Philly without being disingenuous about it.
He said he's been friends with him for like 30 years.
Who, Robert Kraft?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. All right. So Chuck D'Amico has come in here, and I assume you have something to say.
Well, Nick invited me in to talk about a pre-show.
So is this the story that we're going to? Okay, yeah. There's a story that had to get clearance.
Well, I didn't want to
telling on air.
I didn't want to throw our boss under the bus. Bill Weston was there a lot. Steve, you mentioned that most of the MMR staff are a
Kevin Gunn, Rodney, everybody, just a
Jackson,
whole bunch of people.
Sarah,
Brett Porsche.
Yeah, you, me, and Marissa were there as well. And we are very lucky in this business to get access to stuff from.
Oh my
time.
God, yeah.
And there was a staff photo that was organized with the band right before the show started. So we didn't know if this was going to happen or not. And then we got there and Pierre did his show from the Wells Fargo Center and then Jackson and Jackie. So Jackie Bam Bam came down as well. And at about 8 o'clock, we all went into the bowels of the Wells Fargo Center. And whenever you do these types of things, there's a lot of standing around and waiting. So they had this backdrop, this curtain, and it's a black backdrop. And we're just waiting there and waiting there. And we're outside of Bon Jovi's dressing room. And they say, okay, the band's going to come out. They're going to do a staff photo with you guys. And typically, Chuck, when these things happen, it's 45 seconds to a minute.
If it was maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
it's like the footage of Bigfoot walking away.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't really get any one-on-one time with the band or get to chat with them or anything like that. But it's a neat moment. You get a photo with a rock star, with a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band.
Gets the job done.
It gets the job done, exactly.
But you even practice. They had us practice the photo without the band there.
Oh, so, seriously?
You know, okay, yeah, you guys, you got to be tighter. Yeah. I can't get this person. Okay,
when they
come out, stick your heads kind of between their heads so everybody can be seen in the shot and all that kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah, they want the photo to look good.
Yeah.
And so they're going to do that. The plan is they're gonna do this photo right before they go
literally
out on stage.
Walking on to say walk out, stand in front of us, take a picture, walk on stage and start your concert.
Did they actually put shoes down on the floor so they could step into them and
know
exactly where to stand? Yeah.
And our buddy Brian from Chorus Photography is a great photographer, and he's organizing everybody. He's making sure that we're not wandering off, and you know, it's sort of like herding cats at some points. And he's like, guys, you gotta stand here, so we're waiting. And so Pierre's in the middle, and Bill Weston, Chuck is to my left, and all of a sudden we see Tuco Torres, the drummer from Bon Jovi, come out of the dressing room.
Short man, by the way.
Yeah, very tiny.
Hey, everybody.
And Tico immediately starts heading for the stage. And somebody's like, no, we got to do a photo. So Tico comes around and comes back towards us, and then John Bon Jovi comes out, and David Bryan, and David ended up right in front of me and gave me a hug, which was cool. He's a nice guy. So, like I said, less than a minute, all of this stuff happens. So it's me, Chuck is to my left, Pierre is to my immediate right, and then immediately to Pierre's right is Bill Weston, our boss, and then right in front of Bill Weston is John Bon Jovi, the headliner.
Yep.
Take the photo. Everybody starts moving forward.
But during the photo, so Brian wanted to count to three and take the photo.
Right.
Or he's counting down from five or something. But John's manager, a guy named Paul Corzelius, a very, very nice guy, he's counting the opposite way, but faster.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So he's like, 3, 2, 1.
You know?
And Brian's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a mess, you know, and we don't know what the photo looks like.
You know that countdown that we have with me and Pierre, where Pierre goes 1, 2, 3, and I go 3, 2, 1? It was sort of like that. And their manager is trying to get the band done
stage.
And to the stage.
Let's go. We're done. Let's go. Go.
Right.
So you take it.
So John moves forward. And as John moves forward, and if you don't know, if the listeners don't know, when a guy is up on stage, he has an earpiece in and a receiver in his back pocket. And that allows him to hear the monitors, hear the stage coordination and things like that.
Yeah. I'm so scared. I don't know where it's going, but I'm scared.
This is a Bill Weston story.
Yeah.
So Bill accidentally gets tangled up in John's cords.
The wire stays on John.
And by the way, these are like, of course, as you would imagine for a rock star, like custom made, custom for John's ear. That's like, it's rock star.
It's precision equipment.
Somebody hit the wire to perfection and all that. So the earpiece comes flying out. The receiver comes flying out. Now Bill goes into panic mode because he wants to help. Yeah. And so he rushes forward and he grabs the receiver and tries to help put it back in John's back pocket.
This is like when a woman spills wine or you spill wine on a woman's chest and you're going to start to wipe it off. And you're groping her the whole time.
Yeah. So John's manager comes over and he's like, no, we're good. And then like, they're just trying to get on stage and start the show. So now John's kind of thrown because he's got his equipment in and now it's off and now he can't run out on stage like he's ready to go. So Bill's just like, I'm sorry. Yeah. And Bill goes into apology panic mode.
Okay.
Well, he felt terrible and
As he should.
As he should.
He messed it all up.
But it was a pure accident.
How, yeah. But how did he get tangled in the wires?
He must, maybe perhaps when they were standing side by side, he
pushed everybody
arm,
tight together.
Yeah, right. And, listen, and then in so doing, caught his hand.
There's 12 or so people from MMR. You know, there's all the staff, Pancake and Pierre and everybody. And there are, I think, 7 or 8 members of Bon Jovi. Because there's the main band, and then there's acoustic guitar and support guys and percussion. So there's a lot of people in a short amount of, in a tiny amount of space.
Densely packed. And it's, and when, if you ever take a picture with Bill, Bill wants to look informal, and he'll put his hand down your pants.
But you're all crunched in with one another, and John's equipment got crunched into Bill Weston.
So what's, is it all hanging off? I mean, does it rip out of his ears?
Oh, I mean, it looked like it would look at the end of the show when John takes it out of his ear and takes the equipment off and runs off stage to be done for the night.
So was John a little miffed?
So the best part to me was John looks back at Bill with a look on his face like, 3 seconds. That's why we don't do this stuff. You know, like who got tangled up in my, like he had a look on his face like, seriously?
And
you
then
know,
he, like, and then he goes, I'm sorry. No, John goes, who is that guy?
Oh, yes.
Did he really?
Yes.
And they basically have the same haircut. Too,
yeah. The program director of the station. Who is that guy?
Try to look like me.
Jackass.
But Chuck, you may or may not remember this, but Bill, believe it or not, is actually the second program director in a row to mess up John Bon Jovi. Because do you know the Sam Milkman piano story?
No, I don't know that.
There was a charity event where there was a baby grand piano, and this was, I think, where the Philly sold years and years ago. So Sam was the program director for 3 or 4 years here at the radio station, and the baby grand had its lid open, and John resting his hand on the side of the piano.
Oh, no.
And Sam bumped into it.
Oh, no.
And the lid comes crashing down like a cartoon sound effect. I'm not exaggerating. Nary a second in advance, John pulls his hand back in time. So Sam Milkman nearly crushed John Bon Jovi's hands. All Bill did was piss him off right before the show started.
Why does this guy even do anything with us?
Seriously.
I know. Listen, I bet you Bill was.
He felt awful.
Hyper apology and panic mode. Oh, dear God.
But it was funny for us.
Yeah. Is that why when Bon Jovi went off stage, Bill was being dragged in some cords behind him?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Wow.
So that happened.
All right. Well, there's a story
but
now.
If that was the only glitch in the night, then it was a great night. And John, to his credit, went on to thank the radio station, to thank Pierre.
You're not going to believe what just happened. Some old man
didn't thank Bill Weston from the stage?
Did not, no.
No?
I want to thank everyone, but there's one dickhead I'm leaving out.
That guy.
That guy. Put his picture up on the monitors.
Who is that guy?
Who is that
guy? Oh, my God. I can't believe you said that.
All righty, then. So,
we were talking about Spinal Tap moments the other day, Preston.
Oh, my God. That's one of them right
now.
Oh, man. Did you guys stick around for the majority of the show? I know you did, Nick.
Yeah, I stayed until about 3 or 4 songs left. Brent Porsche got a copy of the set list and forwarded it to me. So,
kind of as you would expect, a conga line of hits.
It was. Yeah. And he did a cool thing, John did in the middle of the show where he came out.
Where's Bill Weston?
No, he went to, he did a sort of side stage thing with just him. So for Bed of Roses, right? That's the name of that song? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And another ballad. He was just out in the audience singing to the crowd. So that part was cool. The rest of the band stayed up on the main stage, but John came out into the crowd.
Nice.
So that was cool. And, it was a lot of Philly love, a lot of MMR love, and I was glad that I was there.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. So, and I'm glad that Pierre got some one-on-one time, because he not only spoke to John, but he spoke to David Bryan as well.
Yeah.
The guys. Yeah, and Phil X, who's a super nice guy. Phil X, by the way, was in...
Yeah, he was in Triumph for one record.
For one record. No kidding.
So he comes walking up for the photo, and I said to him, I go, Phil, man, I loved your Triumph record. Nothing.
He didn't say anything?
Barely. You know, probably didn't hear me. Didn't care to listen to me.
So nothing. Awesome. Any conversation whatsoever?
No.
Yeah.
No.
But Pierre did get to introduce Bon Jovi as the band, which was cool. So Pierre was out on stage for 3 minutes then talking about the radio station and the history. And so that was a nice moment for him as well. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
The crowd eating that up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's a great picture that Brian, our friend from Chorus Photography, took of... of Pierre on stage, red shoes, a spangly blue jacket,
of course,
with his arms up, and a what looks like a sold-out crowd.
Yeah.
Wells Fargo Center. So that's a great picture right there for Pierre. That's amazing.
Yeah, so as far as birthday concerts go for the radio station, you only turn 50 once, and this one we did with pretty... we did with style, except for Bill.
Well, that's cool, man. Thanks to everybody who made it out for the event. And
great time.
Sorry I missed it. I was sick.
Yeah, I was glad people were able to come to the suite, have as much water as they wanted.
Steve, the big joke was, because we originally, in the actual bill, you weren't here pressing yesterday for this, but you know, Kathy's reading the list of things, and the suite's going to have pizza and water. And I'm like, oh, my God,
oh,
water.
No, no. I knew it was on there. I skipped the
you
water
did?
Part each time I read it, because it was so stupid. It was pizza and soda and water. And I'm like, yeah, we're really...
I got a little frivolous. I was inviting people up to the suite for water, you know, and people that maybe weren't deserving of the water. But actually, it was fully catered.
Well,
it was wonderful.
You're a giver, Steve. I know. You're very generous with the water. It was nice
of you.
It was
very funny.
So that was birthday celebration number what?
I guess two or three, right?
Well, we've got a biggie coming up with the barbecue.
Yeah.
Marissa?
Well, just one fun thing. Everybody, while we were waiting for that infamous photo now to be taken, everybody had been escorted into the green room area, and I lost everyone backstage. So Chuck had looked at me while we were backstage and said, are you Facebook Living us? And I said, of course. So I hopped on the WMR Facebook page and started wandering around backstage, completely lost everybody, and ended up underneath the stage, like with all the equipment, and I was Facebook Living. So if you go to the WMR Facebook page, there's an entire tour.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
I want to see that.
That I accidentally took while looking for the crew. So it's fun.
Well, the mechanics of putting together a group photo are so annoying when you get, you know, and I think you guys, as I was leaving, I was going to go and work the crowd a little bit. And Nick, you said there's going to be a group photo coming up. And I go, great, that'll be the photo that I can say I wasn't in that.
Right, yeah.
I know how arcane these things are to get going.
I hate them.
I just despise them.
I can't stand group photos.
Come on, everybody.
I know.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I know. And then somebody's always not paying attention or somebody doesn't want to do it.
Who are we waiting on?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are we waiting on? Can't
somebody's always getting wrapped up in Bon Jovi's wires.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's so awful.
I mean, who are you?
Steve,
I'm the program director.
I just wish, Steve, you had actually seen it happen.
If I had been there, I would have unloaded.
All right, anyhow, thanks to all those who made it. And yes, it's just the beginning of our celebrations. There are many other events that we're going to be doing in this year to celebrate 50 years on the air here in Philadelphia.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.